Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coming to you live from my empty apartment, it's Mari Hates Moving. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. This is a SummerSlam prediction episode, so it's so good to be here a few days earlier to talk about this upcoming pay-per-view. Matt, how are you doing today?
Not moving, sitting in the same place, not rubbing it in. You know, I didn't mean to rub it in.
Oh no,
I'm digging a hole for myself. I'm good. Happy to be here. We have a great guest. And yeah, we're about to dive in and talk about SummerSlam, Mari. But other than hating moving, how's it going?
Man, when I tell you, it must be a curse, the RHAP moving curse, because it's just been a lot. So I'm sitting in my empty apartment that we've already moved out of. It's the only place I have cable and internet, because I don't have cable and internet at my house right now. Because I packed my mic, I'm using a headset. So I apologize for the sound quality in advance, everybody.
No, you sound great.
Yeah, you know, anything to bring the people the Wrestling Rehab Up. You know what I'm saying? Anything, Mari, the show must go on.
Let me just get this bit in right now. Mari, you sound so good to me.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I just need that.
Meanwhile, their listeners why she didn't win some.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to hear that you're surviving the move. I also am starting to figure out your game right now. So you know, you're trying to keep up with Rob, with Taryn, with Puya, with Brianna. You're moving because of them. Cause you were definitely not planning on moving before that. So
Never. Not at all.
I think I probably need to move.
Do it. You have to. Yeah. I mean,
if I could be one of the elite, like the rest of you, you know, I'll just be sitting right here. I could get a bookshelf though, you know, a level up, but then I have to carry it to my new apartment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. This is just,
you don't
want to
do all that.
About. Yeah. Let's talk about moving companies. What moving company? Never mind. Wrestling. Lots of wrestling.
The funny thing is, luckily I didn't have as bad as Taryn had it or any of our other behind the scenes RHAP people. It's just annoying. Moving is so annoying. I wish somebody could just people are saying, oh, you know, moving companies pack everything. Yeah, but they cost an arm and a fortune to do that. So, you know, it's just a thing. It had to happen. I am so excited about the new house. The next time I podcast, you'll see the new official background. It'll be all nice and new.
You're going to have a studio and everything. And
yes. Upgrade.
All that. Level up. Graduating to the next degree. I love it, Mari.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is an exciting time. But I'm caffeinated right now, by the way.
I feel like I should be, because I need a boost. I need a boost. It's been a long couple
this
of days.
This is the SummerSlam prediction episode, the biggest party of the summer. Everybody,
there we go.
We are here.
We made
live.
We're dressed to impress.
We are.
We are, I mean,
like that.
No, I'm saying it's the biggest party of the summer. We, you know, we picked our outfits. We're here. We're going to dance a little bit.
You need me to.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Okay. Well, I'm looking for a party hat. Can't find it. So we'll deal with that later. But how do we start these episodes, Mari?
Well, this time we're going to start with a few questions from the Job Has a Squadcast group. Thank you guys so much for turning in your questions. So first question comes from the great Edmo. Which match are you guys most excited to see on Saturday? And which match are you most excited to see on Sunday? So real quick, for Saturday, I mean, come on. It's Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Were you expecting any other answer, Edmo? To be quite honest, this match card, you know, we're going to go over it, but just looking at it, it's pretty stacked. Not too many duds on this card. I'm really excited for a good pay-per-view weekend. And for which match we're going to be excited to see on Sunday, we will get to that a little later.
And
Matt, what do you like? What are you looking forward to?
If I can't say Bianca and Sasha, I'm going to, I don't know. It's Bianca and Sasha, because even with Edge and Seth, like, it's going to be an amazing match.
There are no duds on this match card, man.
No duds. But, you know.
Well, maybe one.
Maybe more than one. But anyway, we're going to go with Bianca and Sasha there. And for Sunday, well, TakeOver.
Yeah, we're going to go over that.
We will go over that.
So thank you so much, Edmo, for sending in that question. Also, we got another question from Derek.
Shout out.
He says, rumors have said that they want a WrestleMania-style weekend. So what surprises do we get? I imagine they want to go all out, especially if Punk is going to AEW. Rumors are true. But the only big returns I can think of are Becky, Brock, Bryan, or maybe even The Rock to set up Survivor Series. Also, who's debuting from NXT soon? So a lot of questions there. Thank you so much, Derek.
Thank you, Derek. I
agree, right?
Yeah. And I think that, well, here's the thing with WWE that, like, is always the issue is that, like, even when you hear rumors that they want something WrestleMania style, like, that could happen. But also, WWE is really good at doing what they want to do. And that means that if we have to wait a little bit more for Becky or for Brock or anything else that's happening, then, that will happen. So I'm really curious, actually, just hearing that from Derek. And what surprises do we get, just to start with that question? Mari, do you have any guesses even one surprise we might get at SummerSlam?
I don't know. I think we will get some, because I think Derek is correct in the sense that they're saying, like, at least that's what we've been hearing for a while, that they want something huge. They want it WrestleMania style. So there's no way we don't get something big, I would think. I guess a surprise, I think The Rock coming to set up Survivor Series, that would be a great, that would be good. I mean, that would make sense. Again, we've talked about, you know, Becky maybe coming back, but both of us, we think it's a little too soon maybe still for her. I mean, it's up to her. It's whenever she's ready to come back.
I just don't like being wrong, even though I'm usually wrong. So I'm not going to guess that she'll be back. But I mean, I could see it happening. People have been talking about her return for a while.
SummerSlam
would be a great stage to see her come back. Maybe, following the Raw Women's Championship
match,
for example. I could see that. So if I had to put my money on something, it would be Becky returning. But
put your money on Becky returning
I would put my money put it on Becky returning. You have to be right.
Right. I think Brock returning, again, rumors have been that he's been in the works for a very long time. Yeah, the original rumor was Brock versus Lashley. So that could be something. Daniel Bryan, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
I love I love Derek's last question. Who's debuting from NXT soon? To be quite honest, Derek, we have no clue because some of the people we thought were debuting just got cut. So I don't know.
No. You know what? Here's what I'll say about that, though. Derek, great question. Really no idea.
Not at all.
I mean, maybe like to switch the question up a little bit. Hopefully this will help, Derek. Mari, who would you like to see debut from?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that during the NXT takeover stuff, if there's someone we want to see debut.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't know.
NXT is an enigma right now, for real. So, but we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So, we also have a few more questions and we're going to sprinkle it throughout the podcast. So thank you to everyone who sent in a question. If you want to send us a question, you can always send us an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com, or you can use @WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter, and also #WrestlingRehapUp if you want to join the conversation. As always, like we said, we have a great group of people in the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group. So if you want to get into that, just, you know, let us know. We know people who know some people who know some people.
Oh.
And and maybe we can get you in there.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's really, really exclusive. So yeah. we'll hook you up. We'll hook you up.
Yeah, we got you. Cool. We also have our own podcast feed, so you can listen to the Wrestling Rehab Up anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, if you're not staring at our beautiful faces right now, you can on YouTube @RobHasAPodcast YouTube page. Just type in Wrestling Rehab Up and we'll pop right up there. And finally. Ooh. Finally, if you want to become a Patreon, you can join the RHAP Patreon at www.patreon.com/RHAP. Join the RHAP Patreon to get access to exclusive podcast feeds, exclusive shows, patron 5 for 5s. It's just really fun. The patron Discord and the patron Facebook group. Matt, why should the people be patrons?
Why shouldn't they be patrons? Mari, the exclusive content, number one. We were on the flop last week. That is still an instant classic. I'm nominating it for all of the year-end podcast awards from the podcasties and the audioes. I don't know.
The Webbies.
We would never. That's a real, yes. That is
I know
real
it is.
But yes, the slop, all sorts of content. You get to interact a lot, actually, with the one, the only, the Podfather himself, Rob Cesternino. You get to meet a great community. You might even meet people locally because you're a patron. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of reasons to become a patron. And if I had to give a tip, it would be, you know, wait a few days. Wait about 12, 13 days, whatever September 1st would be from now. And sign up. You get the whole month. You get all of the different patron benefits. And, you know, you get the ability to just randomly tag me in threads on the Patreon Facebook group because I'm there too. So do it. It's a thing. And also tell Rob that we sent you.
Oh yes, please. That's let them know that the Wrestling Rehab Up sent you.
Yes.
That's the number one rule. I mean, we have an amazing guest here, Matt.
Yeah, Look, I just feel like, Mari, with these intros, that I really want to put some gusto into this one because
like you don't this, normally.
I mean, he's came from pretty far to get here. So I'm gonna. Are we ready, Mari?
Oh, we're ready.
Making his way to the podcast, he is a voiceover artist, a podcaster, radio DJ, writer, a frequent flyer, the co-host of the Wrestling Podcast, the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast from Manila, the Thrilla, the voice of the wrestling people, and the Wrestling Rehab Up's number one stan. Stan C.
Love it. Thank you. Wow, what an intro. I would say that's up there with the Talking with T-Bird intros already.
T-Bird, my natural rival. Okay.
We set up that feud already. Matt Scott versus T-Bird Cooper. Book it.
Yeah, I'll take it on in a ladder match. I don't know. She'd beat me anyway. So.
I was also, don't mess with T-Bird.
I love T-Bird. Shout out to T-Bird and her intro. She is the sweetest person ever. Stan, how are you doing?
I'm well. I woke up extra early for this, so it's 7:42 a.m. here in Manila as we're recording, and I'm just really psyched. I've been really excited to do this episode with you guys. You know, as Matt said, I do host a wrestling podcast here in the Philippines, so anytime I get to talk about pro wrestling, it's something I definitely look forward to. So I even made sure to wear my SummerSlam t-shirt for this morning, so you know,
I love
I'm all ready.
The original Brooklyn. I was there at the Raw after that one. One of my favorite. Yeah, one of my favorite ones. They were in Brooklyn when I lived here. Anyways, Stan, we love to have you here. Can you just introduce yourself a little bit to? I mean, Matt did a great job, but can you introduce yourself a little bit more to our listeners?
Please. Yes. Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, as Matt said, I do host a wrestling podcast here in the Philippines. I've been doing that since 2014. And then in the time since, I got to parlay that onto a TV show about WWE here in the Philippines. I've worked with them as an event host. So I've interviewed The Big Show, Cesaro, Charlotte Flair, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Xavier Woods, for TV, for events. So that's something I'm super proud of with the stuff I've done here. I've also gotten involved with the local wrestling scene. So for about 6 years up until the pandemic hit, I was a heel manager in the local scene, so I would go around and just really piss people off and cut promos and just be an overall all Filipino bad guy. So that's something I love to do as well. And aside from that, I do voice work for commercials and for a local TV station. So that's what pays the bills.
That's amazing, Stan. That is so amazing. We've been so happy that you've been a part of the Wrestling Rehab Up community. You've sent us tons of questions. We had the video clip from you last week. Yeah. Just we really appreciate the support you've given us over the past year almost.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Every time we got podcasts about wrestling, it's always good just because there's so much content out there, but every time there's a new challenger enters the picture, so to speak, I like to encourage it now. Because there was a time when I was a gatekeeper myself, and I'd like to think I did a face turn somewhere down the road where I was like, you know what, let's just support everybody. Let's just get more conversations out there, more voices in there. And I think that's, you know, good for the entire landscape overall.
I agree. I was the same thing. I would say as soon as like 4 years ago or so, I was like legit in the dirt sheets, listening to all the podcasts, just really crapping on the product. But it's just, like you said, somewhere around there, it was just like, I just took a chill pill and was like, hey, this is supposed to be fun. You know, this isn't, we shouldn't be taking WWE wrestling, AEW, Impact. We shouldn't be taking this seriously, you know, like the Stan Wars are endless and are not needed. So
I'm just like wondering all of the accidental Stan references we're gonna make on this podcast, Stan, because you are incepting our brains a little bit. But yeah, it's good to have fun with wrestling, and it's good to talk with people who love wrestling too. And thanks for being here, Stan. You know, you've always been a great supporter this entire 2021, so shout out to you, and thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, cool. No, we appreciate you.
You.
You. All right, so let's get into it.
You. That's wrestling. That's my tagline.
Oh, stop it. Not that again. Right, you haven't been saying it. So let's just quickly just, I'm going to talk about I'm going to lay out the card for NXT TakeOver 36. We will come back next week and then go over, we'll review it. But basically on Sunday, in a reversal of fortunes here, we have NXT TakeOver 36, while SummerSlam is actually on Saturday. So this is really interesting. I don't know why this is the case.
Yeah, this is actually great. Well,
Stan, do you know why they flipped it?
Yeah, Stan, do you know
why? Yeah, I do. So there's actually, the dirt sheets reported that the Allegiant Stadium wanted SummerSlam to be on a Saturday. So I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the Pacquiao-Ugas fight that's happening this weekend as well. It's also happening in Las Vegas over the weekend. But I think they just really wanted to have the big stadium event on a Saturday night as opposed to Sunday, which explains why we're getting SummerSlam and TakeOver in reverse.
Okay, got you. So that makes sense. That's interesting because I don't know how many times WWE would legit change their, you know what I'm saying, for a venue.
I mean, never.
Yeah, that's, they must almost really wanted to be in Vegas or something.
Oh, totally. Right? I mean, well, there's a lot of benefit to, I don't know if that's why they changed it, but there's a lot of benefit to being in Vegas. I mean, it's a weird time in general for travel, but like there will be people who travel to Vegas who are there. I also have like heard a lot about just whenever WWE is in Vegas, it's a weird crowd because they're not necessarily like going to the show because they're huge fans. It's like, ooh, we're in town and here's this other event, and then we're gonna go see Britney Spears
at the thing.
Yeah, I don't know what else is happening in Vegas. I don't care about anything but wrestling. So that's the deal. But I will say, I don't know. We'll see how the crowd is. We'll see how the show is. But I'll take it any day.
Matt, is it only Vegas that's like that? Is that because I've heard that before? Fans may not be in attendance because it might just be tourists. And now I'm thinking about it, it's like, is Las Vegas the only thing I've heard that about? But that's interesting. So I mean, I'm glad that we know that. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I have no clue. I haven't heard that about any
other place, just Vegas
city.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Cause like everywhere else that's a tourist destination, you like New York or LA, you have built in fans there.
And exactly.
Chicago, the crowd is super hot there. Vegas is, it's a strange city.
Strange. Yeah. Right.
For a lot of reasons.
For a lot. Okay, so here's just the TakeOver card. We have the NXT Championship match, Karrion Kross with Scarlett versus Samoa Joe. The NXT UK Championship, which is Walter as the champion versus Ilya Dragunov. NXT Women's Championship match, Raquel Gonzalez is the champion versus Dakota Kai. The $1 Million Championship, LA Knight, who is the champion, versus Cameron Grimes with Ted DiBiase. And then finally, a 2 out of 3 falls match, Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. And the thing is here, the first fall is a traditional wrestling match. The second fall is a street fight. And then the third fall, if necessary, is a steel cage match. So this is like, they're going hard on that match. So my question to you guys, so we don't get into the weeds here, what is your favorite, what match are you looking forward to for the NXT TakeOver? Just like Edmo asked us at the beginning. Stan, what are you looking forward to?
So there was a time when I'd probably say I'd go with 3 Stages of Hell Light, which is the Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly 2 out of 3 falls match. But not anymore, man. When they confirmed that they were going to give us Volta versus Ilya Dragunov, I was like, I'm all in. I've been following NXT UK since they relaunched back in October. Was it October last year or whenever it was? Sometime after the pandemic hit. And man, I just fell in love with the brand. I love Volta. I love Ilya Dragunov. I love what they bring to the table. This is a rematch 10 months in the making. And if you're not too familiar with NXT UK, I would say that Walter Dragunov is the perfect gateway match. It's the perfect gateway feud, which gives you a taste of European wrestling. It also gives you a taste of what the main roster product can't really do. It's something that both these guys will really bring to the table. And I'm just excited to see another potential 5-star match out of, the NXT UK title picture.
Wow. Stan, I'm just like, I'm curious even as a follow-up to that, because we are only getting apparently one NXT UK match, which is pretty typical for takeovers if we do get anything from NXT UK. So is there like another match or another feud that you think could really stand up and be featured here if we did get 2 NXT UK matches? Like, what else is hot over on NXT UK?
So I'm really enjoying the Heritage Cup matches. So the current Heritage Cup champion is Tyler Bate, who, you know, you may be familiar with from NXT. Yeah. And the Heritage Cup rules, they're British, basically British round style. So you've got six rounds of 3 minutes, you know, of two guys just going at it, and you have to get two falls to win. Sometimes the match ends in a knockout. And I just love how different it is from from the standard fare that we're getting on both the main roster and on NXT. So anytime you've got a Heritage Cup rules match, I'm loving it. The most recent one was Jordan Devlin versus A-Kid, which main evented a couple weeks back. And yeah, it's always something different. So I would say that if Tyler Bate had a number one contender, which he doesn't currently because there's a tournament going on right now. If he had a number one contender, I'd probably put that on a takeover, but I wouldn't even know which feud to cut from this takeover card.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for letting us know that, because NXT UK, we hear a lot of good stuff about it. It's just so hard to keep up with all of the wrestling. It's hard to keep up with the little bit of wrestling that we, so to add like an NXT UK, and we said like Impact. I remember 1 week I added Impact. I tried watching. I did watch Impact and I liked it. It was actually a really good episode. It was when Taya Valkyrie like got arrested and left. We got written off. But it's just like I can't watch it all. You just can't watch it all. But I hear such great things about NXT UK, so I'm really happy that they're bringing this to the the takeover or whatnot. Because you're right, it's a great way to get eyes on the product, and maybe more people will turn to NXT UK. So. I'm excited because you're excited.
Yeah. Can I just add one thing? So this match, right? Walter and Ilya Dragunov. So the rumors have it that Ilya's probably winning this one, which finally will end the 2+ year reign of Walter.
Right.
And I was there when the reign began, like when he beat Dunn in Brooklyn at that takeover in 2019. I was there. Yeah. So like to see this match, to see the ending, right? If Ilya Dragunov's actually finally winning, that would mean so much to me, because I was there that WrestleMania weekend when it all began for the Ring General.
That's so cool. And
yes.
God, I remember that. What is time?
It's weird. A flat circle.
That's it. Yeah.
2 years. Yeah. 2 years.
Which isn't even that long
ago.
That's
monstrous, man. I know, because we talk about it. It's like a blip. Yeah, last year was a blip, and we all just... The whole year raised.
Last year was a fever dream. That's what that was.
Exactly.
So, you know what? This whole everything. The whole, you know what? Let's just go with like the whole last few years.
18 months.
18 months. I don't even know how long this pandemic's been going on, but whatever. Mari, to answer your question you had about what match I'm most excited for. So I am actually really excited for a lot of the matches on this card. I will give like an honorable mention to the NXT Women's Championship match.
Of course.
Just because I've loved everything that Dakota Kai has been up to, especially. And then by extension, Raquel has kind of, I think, been coming into her own also as champion.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that match, but Samoa Joe, like what? NXT Championship, Karrion Kross. With Scarlett versus Joe, how could you not be excited for that? Even if Karrion Kross is not the highlight reel that a lot of other people on the roster are, like that's part of the storyline too. That's acknowledged. Samoa Joe, the Samoan submission machine. Like this is, I don't know how you can't be excited to see him and just to kind of like enjoy the fact that he's actually able to wrestle again, which I'm sure a lot of people doubted. So I'm ready for that. I'll be tuned in closely. And I don't think I've really been this excited for the NXT Championship. Definitely not in Karrion Kross's reign.
That's
but
for sure.
I don't know if I've been that excited about the NXT Championship and the match itself in a while, because I mean, maybe we will see Joe take the championship, which would also feel weird, but I don't care. I just want the submissions. I want the match. I want him to clobber people. I want him to do the muscle buster.
The muscle buster.
Saying that the right way?
No, you said it right, but he hasn't done it in,
Not since Tyson Kidd.
Since the injury.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But let's see. Let's see what we get from him, definitely.
All right. So I agree. That's probably the match I'm looking forward to the most. I really just want to see Samoa Joe punch Karrion Kross in the face over and over and over again.
Personal, what did Karrion Kross ever do to you?
Just not a fan of Karrion Kross, but he's a good heel because I want to see him, you know, lose. So, I don't like this whole one foot in, one foot out of Raw thing. They're presenting him in two different ways. So it just annoys me. You know what I'm saying? Right. They're presenting him really well on NXT because of course he's their NXT championship, but then on Raw it's like coming off very scrubby. So even with, you know, some of the wins on Raw, it just still seems like it feels like two different characters, and I don't like that.
Yeah, it does. Yes. And like I'm sure we could talk about that for a long, long time too. But we were talking about that a little bit last week. Just like even seemingly like we don't really know anything happening behind the scenes and rumors and all that. And there will always be rumors, and a lot of them will be wrong and a lot of them will be right, whatever. But like, there's definitely a disconnect there. And I even like how you put that. Yeah. It doesn't feel great. So I would like the champ. We're not doing predictions for this, but like, I would like the championship off of Karrion Kross, like for that reason, just give it, like, let's just separate it and have him go on to the successful run and the epic feud with Jeff Hardy.
And I think that answers the other question that Derek sent us. Like, I want Karrion Kross to go on ahead and debut. I was really hoping we were going to get an EO debut soon, but the whole Zoe Stark thing, you know, them being a tag team, is they're going with that. So, I don't know about all of that. So.
Not to put you on the spot, Stan, but like I think the first email we got from you was about like the Xia Li dynamic.
Oh, yeah. And just,
in general, we were talking a lot about like Asian representation or what that looks like on NXT and in WWE. That was so long ago. thank you for emailing us, Stan. But, you know, I guess that's kind of where I wonder, I don't know if you like how closely you've been following that storyline, but I think the last thing we talked about with that was like, there was a whole segment that was really awkward. We were talking about the sushi restaurant segment.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, I really thought you were going to Xia Li because of the rumors of her going up.
No,
but you want to ask him about the Zoe and the EO stuff.
Yeah, because I wonder if you have any thoughts on that, though, just because I feel like you've graced us with so much of your wisdom and expertise.
Way to put a guy over. the sushi segment, right? I guess my thoughts on that were, on the surface, it was kind of funny, but then when I rewatched it, I was like, this gave me flashbacks of the gross food eating challenges on Survivor and how American television tends to exoticize, Asian food as weird or as, you know, something that isn't as delicious or whatever, just because it's not conventionally, I don't know, American or whatever. So I found that a bit off, but after having watched yesterday's episode where there was that little interview segment with Mackenzie and with Io and Zoe Stark, I found it really funny how Io Shirai is being presented as this no-nonsense badass who just really wants to win the championship, and Zoe Stark is this awkward white girl.
Yeah.
Like, I find it super hilarious how she's just like, yeah, let's be friends. And, you know, I'm kind of awkward, but it's cool. Like, there's a little bit of self-awareness, but on the larger scale, she doesn't know how awkward she is. And it reminds me of the character Shannon from Kim's Convenience, like that awkward white girl archetype, which is so hilarious to me. So I don't know if that's something that audiences generally feel, but like from my perspective as an Asian watching, you know, I'm like, that's funny to me.
Yeah, and I think that's what we were talking about a little bit last week, is like, if you want to go, you don't want to go, ew, Japanese culture is weird, I don't understand it. You want to go, I don't understand this, you know, let me find more. But you know, accidentally step my foot into buckets. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's where they need to stay on the track there, because if you teeter-totter one way or another, it can seem very insensitive or disrespectful to the Japanese culture itself, because this is what we're talking about here when it comes to EO. Exactly. Yeah. But I agree with you, Stan. Like, Zoe being kind of like a dumb airhead, not an airhead. Okay. I should say just like dumb, you said, just American. Awkward. She just don't know. Yes. Dumb American. Yeah. We talked about it last week. Yeah. Just like be the dumb, uneducated American who knows nothing about cultures of other people's cultures. That plays more funny to us than like ew, you know, my culture is better. Y'all culture is weird.
Gotta love a dumb American. And you know what? Like, I will say with that segment, as like kind of strange as it was, there was like the very I'll call it like it really felt like the end of a Big Brother episode in some ways, because like of an eviction episode where they were like, I can't remember what the exact line was, but it's like, we just it's something like, we just speak the same language, which was like a beautiful metaphor, I think, in a lot of ways.
Oh, like Julie Chin at the end of a Big Brother episode?
Yeah, like, take time
weird
to understand people. Take time to understand people. I don't know what her... I'm not good at the catchphrases. But I think that's like something that I appreciated. At least like you could see the intention of where it was going, as opposed to a lot of the really horrible problematic stuff like that we've seen in the past, which we will.
I mean, it's way better than Kai and Tai going chop chop pee pee, right?
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
Way better.
Yeah, by far too. Oh my God. Shout out to Balvinus, by the way. Amari, do you have, speaking of favorites, did you have a favorite match on this card?
No, I agreed with you. Karrion Kross and Samoa Joe is probably what I'm looking for the most. Like you said, Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai, like, I want to see it, but I don't see them taking the title off of Raquel. So I want to see it for Dakota. And if Dakota's not going to win, it's going to take it down a notch. Maybe she goes on to the main roster. That'd be cool.
There was a dark match. So
she was on dark match.
No, maybe that. Exactly. I would imagine that they're considering it, but you never know. And I mean, anything can happen. She could win the championship and she could still be called up. So.
Oh gosh. I don't like them when they do that. So we also got a question from Jacob in the RHJP. Job has a squad cast. If this is Adam Cole's farewell this weekend, do you think it will be acknowledged with some sort of curtain call after the match? Adam Cole has been a loyal and crucial element of NXT for years, and it would be sad to just see him disappear from the black and gold brand without the chance to say goodbye. So I definitely agree with this, but we don't know rumors. We don't know anything that's going on in the back. You know what I'm saying? So I just think it depends. I don't know none of these people. I don't know none of the producers, but I would think that if Triple H was still in the back there, you know, he would understand and he would definitely do a farewell.
Well,
but
I think just to break this down more though, like one, the question is like, do we think that it will be acknowledged in some way? So I think just knowing how plans can change, like, I don't know if it makes sense to acknowledge it on TV in some really meaty kind of way. Like, it's good just to, maybe there's like a small allusion to it and maybe they do something off air, but honestly, I think one of the great things about wrestling is the unpredictability. And if we just kind of get the finish to this match, let's say where Adam Cole loses, let's say if he's being called up, like just throw him at us, like surprise us with his debut. We don't need the send off, because there was kind of an Aaliyah send off a couple months ago now, or a month and a half ago now, and then we haven't seen anything happen with that, even though was on NXT TV. So,
but that's the thing. This might be Adam Cole's farewell from the company, though.
Oh,
that's the thing. We don't know if he's going to sign another contract with the company. So that's what I think Jacob means. That's how I took it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I was totally blanking on that too. But you know, I don't know.
He's a heel. Does he need flowers? Like, does he really need his flowers on his way out? He's a heel.
Especially on his way out. Like, I think that what I would rather see, as much as I appreciate Adam Cole and think it's good to recognize people and celebrate them, and like, I'm sure that he would have some kind of in-ring goodbye at some point, I assume. Like, use that TV time for people who are going to stay around and be around who you want to build in some kind of way. I don't know what that looks like, but I just don't think it's great to call attention to like this guy's potentially leaving and going to other places that might be named AEW. Who knows? It's a interesting thing to say. See, so, but I wasn't so thinking about it. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I don't see the point of giving him his flowers when he's supposed to be a heel. You're supposed to hate him. He's supposed to be a bad guy, right? He's supposed to be the guy who's been... Well, I'm not... I wouldn't say that I'm 100% a purist. It's just that it just doesn't make sense to me, right? Like, if you give him his flowers now, as Matt said, you do call attention to the fact that there is probably some degree of truth to whatever rumors are floating around there. And knowing how WWE likes to keep things... likes to not address these rumors, right? You will want to give credibility to whatever's going on outside their four walls. So if I were them, right, I would probably just go on with business as usual. If Adam Cole's going to be going to the main roster, he's going to the main roster. If he's going to go join Dr. Britt Baker on AEW, he's going to AEW.
Yeah.
I want to be surprised. I just want to be surprised.
Okay. You know, so you kind of agree with Matt then.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll add too is just based on the rumors I've seen about them really trying to figure something out and keep him, I don't see WWE conceding and saying, oh, he's leaving, let's give him his farewell. I think it's going to be a constant process until it's too late to keep him around.
I agree. I do agree with that as well. I think there are certain talents that they would definitely keep calling and calling and calling until they show up on somebody else's TV show. So I definitely agree with that. Well, that's all we have for the NXT, the quick preview. Like we said, we'll come back next week and we'll go in depth for what we saw at TakeOver 36. But let's move on to our SummerSlam preview.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer. We're here. We're finally here. We made it. Roman Reigns versus John Cena. Roman Reigns is the Universal Champion. He's going up against big match, John. Like, how are we feeling about this? Like, this feels like a big match. Like, don't get me wrong. It feels like a big match. But like Roman Reigns has said, like we've been saying, it's like John Cena, this is nothing new. Like, it would have been nice to get like something new. We kind of, this is almost the feud we got with them back in 2017. Whoa. 2017. So
Mari's battle with time.
I know, ongoing. So how are we feeling about this match, Stan?
I love it. You know, you've got two guys who are part of the Fast and Furious franchise going after one another in the ring. You know, they haven't even referenced the fact that Roman Reigns is just trying to get to where John Cena already is. And right. It's really funny to me that John Cena in 2021 is what John Cena was railing against when he was going up against The Rock in 2011.
I'm telling you, right?
So think about that. Let that sink in for a hot second. And yeah. I loved it from the moment that John Cena came out at Money in the Bank. I've been excited for this match for the last month. And I while I'm not entirely happy that they just yada-yada'd Finn Balor out of there, like, okay, 1 minute yeah. he's there, the next minute John Cena signs the contract. They kind of did the little things to address these discrepancies, like having Paul Heyman say, how legal is it that John Cena signed his name over Finn Balor on the contract, right? So that was pretty messed up. And I'm glad that Paul Heyman actually acknowledged it. So I don't know how realistic it would be for John Cena to become Universal Champion, but then again, to see him right. become 17-time world champion and beat Ric Flair's record, I'm all for it. Sign me up. So this is one of those things where no matter which way it swings at the end of SummerSlam, I'd be happy. Kind of like Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Bryan at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Yes. It's great. It just feels short, though, in a sense. It feels, I don't know, right? You know? Like, even though we've had 4 weeks of buildup, it just feels like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I think it's big money. And I love everything about it. It's just weird. I guess I'm still in shock that we're getting John Cena versus Roman Reigns right now. Yet.
Yeah. No, you bring up a good point. And I guess I hadn't really thought about it like that until right this very moment. But like the fact that they could have really spent so much more time just stretching this out or building it. And, you know, I think one of my problems with this feud has been that it's kind of put attention on things that you really, like, we as fans should not be paying attention to. Like, the fact that John Cena has been doing a lot of the same thing is not something that we should really be paying attention to, even though like it's great. It's insanely profitable. It brings in so many fans. He's still a massive draw, but like we don't need to point to the fact that that might be a little bit stale. Cause then I'm like, yeah, Roman. I do feel like that's stale when I might not have even thought about that if the framing of the feud was a little bit different. Yeah. So this, I imagine that a lot of this was about like, let's get to SummerSlam. Let's build something. Like, the fans are back, so let's bring back John Cena and do something big at SummerSlam, which totally makes sense. And honestly, I don't think I would have done it any differently if I were them. But yeah, maybe it's like, you know, if the focus or motivation of the feud were a little bit different, that would be a little bit more compelling. But I'm excited. I'm excited for what we're gonna see. Just like the match itself, because John Cena doesn't disappoint really in the ring. He'll bring the drama. Roman will bring it too. And it'll be fireworks. And that'll be fun to watch, even if the build wasn't the best.
Right.
I've got a question for you, though, if you don't mind. So, like, Matt, you mentioned that you felt there was something lacking in the buildup. And I'm wondering if it's because John Cena just was this plug-and-play main eventer you can immediately insert into the Universal Champion storyline when right before that, there seemed to be a dearth of baby faces on the main event level on SmackDown. Mm. Like, is that it?
I think that's part of it. I would also say the other piece of it for me is that, like, when I think about wrestling, and this, I mean, maybe this is a frustration in general with a lot of things that we'll see. I like to be able to, like, explain it to non-wrestling fans in a way that really makes sense. And I think there's an explanation here with Roman and Cena. Actually, they do have a solid explanation that's about, like, It's basically like a feud between the guys, or I don't even know what to call
them.
I'm not going to call them the man, either of them the man, because that's Becky Lynch. Shout out to Becky. Thanks for listening, Becky. But in all seriousness, like, it's, yeah, I just think the motivation, if it were different, if there was a different fire, if Roman did something to Cena's family, like, give me some of that. But that's me and, like,
yeah,
the wrestling I like. So I think that that's also just, like, probably not a popular opinion, but
I would also say that it's almost like the feud is also working backwards in a sense, because we got the John Cena confrontation, we got the contract signing, and then it's been like 2 to 3 weeks of just kind of like promos back and forth. Kind of, we'll talk about it in a second, but the Bobby Lashley Goldberg stuff, like for 2 weeks there, it was just Bobby Lashley and MVP talking to the camera. And I'm like, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? So I do feel like that could be it as well, that it, almost the backwards building of the feud, because, you know, no longer are we, you know, they've been said that the go home shows have been like not as crisp and not as they, you know, they don't need to sell the pay-per-views anymore. The name brand sells itself. So that could be it. But I don't know. It's just like, maybe this is just one of those feuds where your imagination can just go anywhere. But we're kind of at a place that we've already seen. So it's just kind of like, we've kind of seen this, but it's still, you know, we're still hyped for it. That's all it is. So I'm going to predict.
You can't see it.
Right. I'm going to predict that Roman Reigns retains the championship. Stan, what do you think is going to happen?
So I took a second there to think about what you said there, Mari, about how it felt like they were missing a couple of story beats. And I guess now that I think about it, I did want to see some physicality. I did want to see Roman and the Usos punk out John Cena right before the SummerSlam match. Because like during the buildup, they haven't really thrown down, right?
Wow, that is so true.
Roman has not sent the Usos to attack John Cena, to blindside him from out of nowhere or whatever. So I guess that kind of takes away from the gravitas of the whole thing. So that probably could have added some fuel to the fire. But with all that being said, I'll probably predict Roman Reigns to continue the winning streak, extend the reign so that whether it's John Cena at the next pay-per-view or whichever other contender comes up next, the win means more just because Roman beat John Cena.
Yeah, beat up John Cena. Yep. Matt?
This is a good question. I mean, I'm going to go with John Cena winning here. Because I have a feeling that we're going to get that 17-time championship at some point. I mean, it feels like it has to happen. And I think that just like the piece of this that's really interesting to me is the fact that Ric Flair also just left the company. I don't know if they want to kind of put a crown on someone else. I don't know if they would mess with those plans.
Oh,
Flair's not there anymore.
WWE is petty like that.
Well, I mean, sorry.
It's
like logical, but it's like also logical because like if you don't want to have your legend or your legacy as someone who's not even with the company anymore. So like Cena's a good person to make your 17-time champion. He's been around long enough to the point where, I mean, a lot of kids probably remember Ric Flair as the guy who dated Lacey Evans earlier this year, you know?
Oh God.
They're seeing him trend on Twitter now for entirely different reasons.
Yes. But I mean, look, where's the lie? So I'm just saying, just put it on Cena. Like, I don't even want a conversation about the 17-time thing anymore. Just make him the 17-time champion. Make him the guy to beat. Give it to John Cena and then have him lose it to Reigns after. I want Roman Reigns.
But I hate
to go
those type
crazy.
Of
Reigns. I want him to go crazy.
I really want, if John Cena has to do that last title reign, I want it to be like his absolute last run. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want him to win the 17th championship and then pop back 2 years from now. Like, I want it to be, I want it to happen on his last run. I want it to be an actual run where it's like, he wins the 17th championship. He's like, okay, this is it. I am at the pinnacle. I am on this run. I am going to hold on to this title for as long as possible. And he holds on to it. He holds on to it. And then maybe he even early in the reign says, when I lose this title, I walk away. And then it puts added pressure on all of his title matches from then on out. That's how I would do it. But either way, I think we're going to get a good match here.
That's amazing. That could, definitely. I mean, maybe that's it. But I mean, I don't, the thing with John Cena, I don't know why I want to make this dramatic and call it the elephant in the room, but like one of the elephants in the room, it's not that big of an elephant. I don't know why I said that. Sorry for hyping that up. The fact that like he is older, he does still look like John Cena. I mean, that's part of him like not changing much over time, which is amazing. But I kind of wonder like at what point is it too, you know what? John Cena is another 10 years in him. Who am I kidding? Super Cena.
He's 44. Is going to take.
He could probably, he looks like he's 28, you know, he'd really,
he also hasn't really wrestled a real match in like a year and a half, right? Yeah. Like his previous match was the Firefly Funhouse match, which was a cinematic match.
Oh, so good.
Right. So it's been a while since we've actually seen indie Cena. So I'm excited for that. I want to see him bust out some of the indie stuff that, you know, he started busting out. What, in 2016, 2017, when he was feuding with AJ Styles and Seth Rollins? So, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm excited still to see Cena and see what he looks like in 2021. So, I think we're going to get that. And I'm going to put my money on Reigns versus Cena being the actual main event.
Yep.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. And I don't know why. Did John Cena, side note, back to what you were referencing, Stan, like, did John Cena hit like a 450 splash or anything like that at any point? I'm just like,
he's hit like these Canadian destroyers, right?
Okay, that's it.
That's I thought.
I remember him flipping, because that's not a thing he does a lot. But yeah, let's see it. I would love that. And I think that this match, again, will be really, really fun for us to follow along with.
Yeah, that series of him and AJ Styles was just like unreal. Yeah. Okay, so next match we're going to talk about here is the. Oh, sorry. You know what? No, we have a question. Brett,
we need a sound effect. Wait. Mari, say I have a question again.
We have a question.
Boop, 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 boop.
Okay, all right. Well, that was just
sorry,
too much.
Already.
Brett asked us, who's next after Cena for Reigns? So we're all just assuming Cena's, well, some of us. I mean, they already kind of announced The Rock was coming at, not kind of, I think they did announce that Rock will be at SummerSlam. So, SummerSlam, Jesus, Survivor Series. So, I mean, I really thought we were going to get Rock and Roman at WrestleMania this year when it was scheduled in Hollywood, but all of the changes from the pandemic. So, I mean, I would think The Rock. What do you think, Stan?
You know what? I'm going to say Big E. So if Big E doesn't go on to Raw and challenge Goldberg or Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship, then I'd say the logical move is to have Big E cash in on Roman Reigns. Because if Roman and The Rock are going to throw down, they don't need to fight over the Universal Championship. That's like Roman Reigns just flexing his BDE and saying, I'm the tribal chief head of the table versus The Rock, who was the OG BDE head of his table, head of his family. That story writes itself. You don't need a championship.
I agree with that
one.
That is a great, great point there. Matt?
I mean, I should just agree with Stan. But,
I mean, yeah.
like, what? I wouldn't be. There's a reason that I'm here. So I guess what I would say is we're going to get more. Well, okay, after Cena. So I do think that the Cena thing will continue after SummerSlam. I would hope because there's so much more like fire to get out of that feud. But honestly, for Reigns, I mean, I kind of wonder like they were doing some Finn Balor stuff. Maybe it's a we get Finn Balor in this mix. Maybe not like the highest profile thing after Cena, but I did like that they were kind of, I did find it interesting that they were thinking about it. Like someone at WWE thought like, this is a plausible match for us to claim that we are booking for a week. And maybe that says something. So I'd be interested in that if they do that, but who knows what's going to happen. I'd love if we're all wrong and it's something completely different, as long as it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking at John Cena's IMDb here just to see what his
what are his latest credits.
Yeah, he has of course the Suicide Squad in WWE, something called Vacation Friends is completed, something called Snafu is in post-production.
Stan, you Stan, you know what these are?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
So okay. I think Snafu is that Chinese production that he was kind of protecting when he did that apology to China. So he's involved with Jackie Chan's production company, and I think Snafu is the first in this multi-film franchise.
Ah, and I think Peacemaker is getting their own series. So from the Suicide Squad, Peacemaker is getting his own HBO Max series, and that's as it's filming. So, I mean, he has at least three things filming and in pre-production.
Look at that.
So I don't know if he has the time for a lengthy reign, at least right now.
John Cena could do whatever he wants. And let's see. Let's see if that's how it goes.
All right, so let's move on to the Raw Women's Championship match. So the Raw Women's Championship match will be Nikki A.S.H. as a champion versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. And we have highlights to all of these feuds and everything from this week and just highlights in general in our show notes and our video description. But the reason why I pause on Nikki A.S.H. is because some commentators are calling her Nikki A.S.H. Some of them are calling her Nikki Ash. And then now I think Charlotte is just being disrespectful and keeps calling her Nikki Cross at this point.
That's really disrespectful. Also, as a side note, I just want to say Charlotte is great on commentary. Like, I have so much fun listening to her. Mm-hmm. She's just like, I can't put my, it's hard. I wish I had like a better explanation of it, but she's like, I was focusing more on Charlotte this past week as she was on commentary than I was on like the actual action, which was Nikki Cross. I said Nikki Cross. Nikki Ash versus Rhea Ripley, which Rhea won, which the clean.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So this week, Nikki versus Rhea. Rhea wins. Then they go to Nikki and Rhea versus Charlotte and Nia Jax. And then Charlotte and Nia Jax won. So twice in one night, the women's champion took an L.
Here's what I'll say before you go into it, Mari, and vent, because I saw the steam building up in your glasses were just like steaming up a little bit, fogging up a little. Like, I like that they're, this is like, let everyone say one nice thing about the like, I like that
we don't have enough time.
The dynamic's different. I like that they're, I think that they could definitely book Nikki a lot stronger. Absolutely. But
only book her stronger.
Like that, I kind of secretly like that. And you're so great, Mari, at pointing out like how people should be booked and what makes booking a strong champion and what's burying a champion. And maybe this is it, but I do like that it's different. And I don't know. This is such a bizarre situation because I wasn't expecting Nikki to eat the pin this past week and actually take two losses this past week.
Stan, what do you think?
So I had an issue with Charlotte recruiting Nia Jax and how that all went down in the first place, because I have no problem with Charlotte going after Nia Jax, literally the biggest woman on the roster, a former tag team champion for a tag team match, right? But they could have probably put a little bit more effort into showing Charlotte actually recruiting Nia Jax instead of saving it for the big reveal at the end. Like, that kind of deflated me because I would have wanted to see how that conversation would go down. I mean, Charlotte herself said in that backstage interview I don't play well with others. Uh-huh. So if she doesn't play well with others and she's so open about that fact, then why would Nia Jax willingly team up with Charlotte? Uh-huh. So that's something I had an issue with. And you know, you guys are right when you mentioned that Nikki A.S.H. taking two L's on the same show doesn't really make her look incredibly strong heading into SummerSlam. But if you're going to follow traditional wrestling logic, uh-huh. right, that probably tips the hand and says that, oh, Nikki's probably retaining at SummerSlam.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's almost like they booked themselves into a corner because if she doesn't retain at SummerSlam, she looks like a chump. So,
yeah, but like, part of it too is that, I know that we've talked about this a little, like,
she
is meant to look like a chump.
Yeah.
Is like kind of the
That's
thing.
The idea.
So, I mean, obviously, it's not like anyone's like, oops, we accidentally booked Nikki.
Which,
really,
again. Uh-oh. I don't mind if she was booked as a chump if she wasn't currently the champion. I am just, it still incenses me. I am so sorry, but whatever, you know. And I agree with Stan. No. I actually like Nia Jax in these moments here. I wonder if she's going to get a push at some point after this. I mean, if Nikki stays the champion, we're going to need some more heels coming up. So, Nia Jax did a stink face, y'all.
Wait, total side note. This match had me wondering, like, who are the agents, like, helping book the matches on Raw? Because I said this a lot about Charlotte. I don't think Charlotte should not be doing chops. Like, I will say that very
quickly. Oh, right.
Because
okay,
that's just not, like, the
it
way
pops
that
the crowd.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And
just
then,
like a stink face.
Exactly. Yes. So I kind of started like, she's just... Yeah, there was a lot of like twerking situation, which maybe is her new gimmick. Like maybe this is Nia taking on, I don't
Nia
know, like Alicia Fox type of dancing.
Time for the twerkulator.
Maybe Victoria. Yeah, time for the twerkulator, Nia Jax. So...
Yeah, I liked Nia in this match. I liked Charlotte stole the, you know, tagged Nia to get the pin. And Nia looked at her like, it was a side glance. I'm like, okay, will this come home to roost at any point? But Nia looked great in this match. I'm a fan of Nia, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Stan, do you think this goes anywhere?
I want her to be more evil. But yeah, so, Stan, what about this? What are your thoughts?
I'm not sure. I'm not entirely excited about Nia Jax being in the women's championship picture again, but that's just me. I will say that I'm ready to see Rhea Ripley and Charlotte move on. Like, I actually want to see Nikki retain just because I want to see a different heel challenger, like a Shayna Baszler, who's waiting in the wings. Like, they showed her just taking a peek during that main event match on Raw this week, right? Uh-huh. So if Shayna Baszler goes apeshit on Nikki A.S.H., man, that would make me sympathetic towards Nikki, and that would make Shayna such a credible threat again down the road.
Love Shayna. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, and I kind of agree with you there, Stan. I would like Nikki to win this match because it looks like Raw has a dearth of heels.
Ooh, good word.
Yeah, but not a lot of babyface women. I'm literally trying to think.
Yeah, you got Nikki, Rhea, Asuka, Alexa.
Oh,
that's it.
Uh-huh. Where's Asuka been? Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So, I would like Nikki to retain, but something about this, I don't know. I think Charlotte's going to win this. I have learned my lesson. I'm not betting against Charlotte. So I think, Charlotte wins this. And if we do get a Becky return, it's going to be because of a Charlotte, Charlotte winning the championship. I think Charlotte wins the championship. Becky comes out, steals her spotlight. Maybe we segue to the two of them.
So I'm sorry. As a side note, hold on. We asked where Asuka is, and I just went to Twitter and hold on. I need to share this because, frankly, if you're not watching on YouTube, I don't know what you're doing half the story. But let me tell you, what is the I'm so flustered.
He's
right now.
Yeah, he's trying to bring it up, y'all.
No. But I'm just like flustered too. What is going? Hold on. We need to take a look at this together, guys. Because I'm like very
That's awesome.
Overwhelmed. Zooming in on this.
So
Asuka has like a lot of memes going on her. There's a meme from The Office on her Twitter. There is another meme, I think, of a Supergirl.
Yeah,
Supergirl. I don't know what this. There's another meme involving Triple H.
Triple H?
There's another meme of her as a clown. I don't get the reference. Isn't this?
Yeah, for all our podcast listeners. Oh, scroll down. Oh my God.
There's another one of her as Lily.
Lily.
What is she doing? What?
Go to Asuka's Twitter, because Asuka's amazing. She's just taking memes and putting her face on them. It's a whole lot. Good for Asuka.
Yeah, good for her that she has.
But I don't know what is going on.
Asuka being a shit poster in her late 30s is a mood.
I'm telling you.
That
was
wild. I'm glad that we mentioned Asuka, just to get that update. Good for Asuka.
So yeah, I think that. I mean, any more thoughts about this feud? I mean, like we all said, I think we're just all ready for the next step for all three of these competitors, because it just feels, I feel so bad for Rhea. Like, honestly, she is the afterthought of this feud to me, which is just so weird because she was the previous champion. I mean, well, you know, before Charlotte, it's just, I feel so sad. I feel so bad for Rhea. And how do we rehabilitate her character after this? What do you think, Stan?
That's a great question.
Does her character need rehabilitation?
Thank you. Thank you, Mari. That's
there
exactly
you go.
What
there you go, going. Stan.
So I would have said no initially, because there is a lack of baby faces, right? But if you have Rhea go on a tear, let's say there's another draft or another shakeup a few months from now, you put her on SmackDown, turn her heel, have her go on a tear through all the women over there, reestablish her as the next number one contender, then maybe you can probably refresh the image. Because I love how whenever Rhea Ripley comes out, I want her to step on me. Like, she exudes that type of energy.
Yes. And like, and then it just falls flat, you know?
Right. So, like, with the way that her story has kind of shaken out, like, the step on me energy is there as soon as she enters. But after the entrance, it kind of deflates from there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
I like that.
I just don't want anybody coming for Bianca's title. But I do agree with that.
No, no. We need Rhea taking Bianca's title to rehabilitate.
No. No,
yeah, we need that to rile Mari up and make her feel real feelings.
No, yeah, I don't like any of this.
Yeah, we'll do like an hour and a half. No, we'll do like a three-hour podcast and you just ranting.
Oh, God,
on
no. But yeah, so this is one of those matches where it's like, I'm going to watch it, but I might not be paying attention during it, only because, again, it's just, I know I don't like to say it like that, but I just like, I'm just not moved by the storyline anymore. And I was so jazzed for the Rhea Charlotte storyline. So yeah, it's so unfortunate, but that's just me. That's just my thoughts. Yeah. Next up.
No, what? And I'll also just say, like, I think that that's a pretty big indictment. I'll even say, just because, as much of a women's wrestling fan as you are,
exactly,
too, I feel like that automatically, and I mean, same for me too. Like, I think that would normally add a point, but this has just been, we'll move on. We're going to move on.
Yeah.
But you know, we've made our points.
And you're right. Yeah. And that's exactly like what I'm saying. I love watching the women work. I just don't know. I feel like this is a dead end storyline just for me though. Just for me. So our next match, the WWE Championship match, Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. I mean, so Goldberg had his son. He like officially introduced his son this week on Raw. That was cool. I was just happy that he was back, like in the ring to at least cut a promo. And then he hit Bobby Lashley with a spear and all that. So I'm glad we had some more back and forth promos, because the last 2 weeks with just the, you know, Lashley and MVP promos, I was kind of like losing it a little bit. But I mean, this match is going to be hard hitting. It's going to be a train wreck. Hopefully it's only 5 minutes, and that's all we really need, to be quite honest. Matt, what do you think about this match?
Well, I was really thinking about one tiny thing, mm-hmm. and it's Goldberg's spear. And I've been really disappointed by all of the spears he's delivered since coming back.
Yeah,
like even on this path. I mean, the one he hit on MVP, it just didn't have a lot of like steam behind it. And then the one he hit on Bobby, and I don't know if it's a matter of like the distance, but it didn't seem like it wasn't like across the ring Goldberg plowing through someone. And you know what? Maybe Dolph Ziggler completely broke the dynamic, because when he was up against Goldberg, which is wild to think that that happened, like maybe two SummerSlams ago, if that was at SummerSlam, which I'm pretty sure it was. And I'm pretty sure that Goldberg took Ziggler's boots off with that.
Yes.
That is like Dolph Ziggler is the type of wrestler. I vaguely remember it, but only because Dolph Ziggler's so good. So that's the thing where I want that Goldberg. Like I think with Goldberg too, it just helps to have someone who's able to like sell and put him over as this badass, because he is older. And, you know, I think people are accustomed to just saying like, maybe he's slowed down because he's older, but I'm not that hyped for this match. I'm with you, Mari. I agree. I would take the 5 minutes. But Stan, do you want a 5-star classic with this one?
Hell no. No. See, I'm not a religious person, but I'm going to be praying to every deity out there that Bobby Lashley stays healthy. We saw what happened with Goldberg and The Undertaker. Man, I do not want history repeating itself at all. And when Goldberg cut his promo this week on Raw and told his son Gage, you could probably watch videos of me online. I wish he'd just stop there, because Gage would probably be better off just watching videos of his dad on the WWE Network or on Peacock. And like, I wish someone would have told Goldberg, just plug Peacock, plug the network, <we're> right there,
right. But I mean, this is, they have to know. They're not gonna, we're just getting big meaty men slapping meat. We're not getting the 5-star classics. We're not getting 30-minute long match. We're getting big meaty men. So I just want to get y'all predictions, and then we're gonna talk about a question we also got. So I want to say, I want Bobby Lashley to retain here.
Right.
But I think we do this song and dance here, Matt, like the last time Goldberg showed up, and we're like, he can't win a title every time he shows up.
Because when was the last time he showed up?
Was it before Mania? Was it?
I don't know. He last showed up against Drew, right? At the Rumble.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it was this year, because I think this is the second match of the year. Mm-hmm. I also would like, I don't know his deal. I'm not in anyone's pockets. I'm not, as much as I like to make a big deal of the contracts, like I'm not in the contract in the legal department of WWE, so I can't tell you how many matches he's contracted to, but...
Oh,
I mean, maybe this is his last match of the year. Who knows? I don't see any chance that Goldberg wins here. That would be wild. Like, what would they do? Just have him have the championship and then defend it once?
Well, I guess we'll talk about that in a second.
Do you think Gage is going to be there every week with him?
I mean, he got all dressed up this time too.
He has to go to school, right? This kid has to be in school at some point.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Monday night. I mean, well,
I mean, it's
the summer.
It is summer. <It's good point>.
And these kids should not be in school, to be quite honest.
Well, that's a whole other.
That's another great point. Another conversation altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, you know what? I would pop if Goldberg beat Lashley, only for Big E to cash in on Goldberg.
Exactly.
Like, smack him with the briefcase, have Big E beat Goldberg 1-2-3, boom, new champion. But if it's just Lashley Goldberg, no Big E involved, dude, just have Lashley steamroll Goldberg and then keep Lashley looking strong, just so whoever does beat Bobby Lashley comes out looking like an absolute monster.
And I agree. So Alex from the Facebook from the Facebook group, he asked us, so say Oldberg beats Lashley at SummerSlam. I know, a horrible thing to imagine. Do we have Big E cash in on Goldberg, who is his dream opponent, and just annihilate him to win the title? Then his first opponent to define him as champion is beating Lashley for his New Day boys. So I agree with you, Stan, here. I think if Big E is going to cash in on this, and it might happen because we did get footage surface that at a house show, Big E came out in his towel to help the New Day get over on Lashley, to win a match against Lashley. So there is like some history here. So I agree with Stan. I want Goldberg and Lashley to kind of just maybe just keep spearing each other, do whatever you want to do. Then they're both like lying, like very just like labored breathing in the middle of the ring. And it's like, oh, who's going to be able to take advantage of this momentum? And then all of a sudden, Big E comes out, hits them both with the briefcase, cash in to make it a triple threat, because Matt loves it when people cash in to make it a triple threat.
To join the match.
Yeah. Yes, to join the match. And then we get Big E. Well, who would he get the pin on there? Maybe Goldberg? But anyway,
yeah, Goldberg. Yeah, why not?
Stack them. Yeah. Smash them and stack them.
Yep.
And then win the title that way. And I agree. I agree with Alex's question. Then he goes on to with a feud with Lashley. That would be a great, just a segue feud if, you know, Goldberg leaves and then we just get a feud with Lashley. So, I mean, I hope so. I really hope so. Big E just talks about how Goldberg was his, you know, his hero. And I would love to see him be able to share the ring with Goldberg. And I would like that. I would like that it to go that way, because I feel like if Big E is going to cash in on Roman, it's going to be like Stan said, it's either going to be now or it's going to be a while. You know what I'm saying? And then it might not even be Roman if it's not now, before the whole Rock thing. So
I think,
I don't know.
Just Matt? To kind of add to that, I think that if I was going to have Big E cash in, I would. Maybe this is the scenario. Like, Goldberg wins the match against Lashley somehow. No clue. I don't know. Maybe Gage. I don't know what his finisher would be. Even if he's even legally able to wrestle at his age. Probably not. His school probably doesn't allow it. But, you know, I think that, like, I could see that happening and then see a situation where Lashley wants the rematch with Goldberg. And then Big E comes out and he's like, this is going to be my match. And it's announced for whatever that next pay-per-view is this fall. And so I could see that. I just think Big E would announce it as like the ultimate face move, but also like a dumb move. But
no, that's a great point. It is a babyface move. I actually wanted to get your thoughts on this because, right, the stereotypical Money in the Bank winner cashes in when it's most advantageous for them, which is ultimately a heel move, right? Because Edge pioneered it, and it's you sneaking up on somebody at, you know, the moment they least expect it. That's a heel move. So what do you think about Big E doing a babyface thing and actually calling a shot? Because only Rob Van Dam really did it successfully. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, successfully, yeah, because Braun Strowman did the same thing and lost. I mean, I would like him to do that as the match is happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still kind of like an opportunity, but like Matt said, he actually joined the, how did we switch on this? Anyways, I think we did. So
I track of our script. I'm sure that Mari and I just have scripts in front of us, and everything we say, we're just reading the scripts, and sometimes we say the other person's line.
Right.
I don't know. I think the whole cashing in with Big E thing kind of switched us up a little bit, but
yeah, I know, because you, yeah, I just like it. I mean, I would just like it, because I feel like if you insert Big E into the match while it's happening, it won't feel like a loss for whoever takes the pin, in a sense, as opposed to somebody winning the match and then being, you know, the opportunity being taken there. And again, for me, logically, I would want to see him catch Goldberg slipping, you know. But the only way to catch Goldberg slipping is if Goldberg beats Lashley. And I don't think Goldberg should beat Lashley. So I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. I think it's just better because then Lashley can say, I never lost the championship, you know?
And this is why wrestling fans, including us, should be banned from making predictions, because it basically just drives us up a wall think about all of the
keeps us up at night.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be laying in bed at night just thinking about all of the possible scenarios.
And that's
just
the funny thing, because I really think it could be like, that's why I'm very excited for SummerSlam, because we honestly could get anything in a sense, because say Brock does come back for a surprise return, the rumors was it was supposed to be for Brock and Bobby Lashley. So if we get, you know, Big E doesn't cash in on that, say Big E cash in on Roman, we get a Big E Roman cash in, but then we might get Brock and Lashley. So it's just like, I just feel like WWE has done a pretty good job of making it feel like something big can happen this weekend.
Yeah, you know, you've got an opportunity to continue past stories as well. If Big E goes after Brock, there's the history of him demolishing Kofi, right? Mm-hmm. Back in 2019 and in 2015 in Japan. If Big E goes after Bobby Lashley, there's the history of him demolishing Kofi as well and Xavier Woods. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're right. You're right, Mari. They can go in different directions, and I will give them a bit of credit on that end. So I think the only thing they have to do now is move Big E to Raw.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that, too.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sucks because you feel like his, like, solo run, at least, I mean, no matter what, he'll still be, like, a solo thing. But I feel like it was wasted because he spent the whole year fighting Apollo Crews, in a sense. But there's not much he can do left on SmackDown, really.
Unless he goes after Roman.
Yes, sorry. Yes, I should say there's not much left for him to do in the mid card of SmackDown.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's see how this goes. I do like what I imagine, but also because this has probably been rumored, is like Big E going to Raw in the draft. But you know what? Let's see how things go. Because
I feel like we haven't heard anything about the draft yet. So
yeah. Yeah, that's a whole other question of like when and if that's actually happening, but that's a whole other thing. So
yeah,
this is where, again, us, like, we could go through all of the possibilities. This is why we're probably not great with questions. Shout out to Derek, who submitted questions that are like, what do you think will happen? It's like, there are a million possibilities. Yeah. And we don't actually know.
We don't know. We are not professionals.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So next up, the match that I am looking forward to, the SmackDown Women's Championship match, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. Talk about a match that's only been built in like 3 weeks, but it feels like they built a feud in one night when Sasha came back. You know, it was just so good. We get the Sasha coming back and turning on Bianca. We then got the Sasha promo the next week explaining her actions. Then we got the boss contract signing. Like, this has been, I don't know why. I don't want to feel like I'm being hypocritical for this feud, in a sense, when calling the Roman and John Cena one like a weird buildup. But I feel like this one, I don't know. Is it a better told story, Matt?
It's a lot different. Yeah, it's a better told story in the sense that the story's been told from WrestleMania and or from before WrestleMania,
yeah, that's
from the
true.
Royal Rumble, really.
That's
and
true.
We have had the benefit of just kind of waiting to see it play out more because there was the cliffhanger, really, with WrestleMania, like, where's Sasha? What's going to
so
happen
true.
Next? And then we're getting it now. So it's a well-told story with, like, a lot of anticipation, while at the same time, they didn't have to put in the effort to build the anticipation. Like, time built the anticipation in large part for this match because of their epic performance at Mania, which it's still wild to think that that was the last time that we saw them before, you know, before a few weeks ago, you know,
yeah.
Other than the ESPYs and that kind of stuff. Mm. But, man, this is, like, this has been pretty... pretty epic to see and to take in.
It has been. What do you think?
So I'm going to agree with Matt here and say that they have been telling this story for a while. So, you know, when Sasha came back, the story wrote itself. Bianca had basically gone through every heel on the SmackDown women's roster. Mm-hmm. So it feels like it just felt natural to plug Sasha back in, have her turn on Bianca the first chance she could get, because it's also in Sasha's DNA as a character now. right? With all of that being said, I've got to ask you to your thoughts on the rumors that Sasha Bianca might not push through. Because I don't know if you saw the chatter online over the last few days, but there have been rumors that for one reason or another, they're probably not going to make it to SummerSlam. And I don't know if it's COVID related or not, but it also brings up the other elephant in the room that Sasha has some, I'd say, problematic takes about the whole pandemic and all that.
I agree. I agree. It is unfortunate because we shouldn't be split on science, but you know,
as a healthcare professional, Marty.
Yes, as a healthcare professional, I should say we are. It shouldn't be something that is politicized or, like, you know, really, really questioned. I get the concerns, but it's just, you know. But the biggest thing is, Stan, you're right. I saw this. At first, I was just like, okay, everybody's being alarmist. Calm down. They just don't want to show any of the moves. You know, that's what I thought. Now everybody's kind of getting me worried. And I'm like, oh, my God. If Sasha and Bianca don't happen at SummerSlam, I'm going to be sad. I really am because, again, people going into their WrestleMania match, you know, I was satisfied with the storyline. I thought the storyline made sense, but a lot of people just thought, like, oh, this isn't even that hot. It's not like they don't even like each other. There's been no fire in the feud, and we finally get it. We get the payoff. We get the fire. We get the bad blood. We get the amazing babyface champion who will literally take on three people at a time because she knows she's it. And it would just really suck that to, like, postpone this, you know. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, they're operating in full arenas in the middle of the South. So,
which is like, it's like, it's not a good situation, like, for anyone. And we've talked about certain things. Like, there was Nikki Ash is a good example where I don't know what anyone is thinking, honestly, but you just don't need your champion to go out in the crowd. Like, we're not there yet as a country, and that stuff makes us nervous to see. But then when you, I mean, and again, we don't know the situation with Sasha and Bianca and all of that, but, like, these are things that could happen, assuming that it's actually, you know what, regardless of what it is, these are things that could happen. So,
variants are real, right? COVID is still out there. And they've got meet and greets happening. They've got something like Access Light happening this weekend. So they've been promoting that on TV. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, every time the commentators would promote the fan events, I'd be like,
That's me for everything. At this point, I'm just like.
But it's also just like, look, like, I'm trying to kind of think about this for, like, a split second. So WWE is going to WWE with the protocols. And also the safety considerations are also wild because, like, they're different in different places. Some arenas require proof of, like, vaccination or tests and some don't. And it's all over the place.
Depending on the state.
And I just feel like you know, if this is a COVID-related situation, this will not be the last COVID-related situation that affects something major in WWE, if, again, assuming that's what it is. But, like, beyond the speculation, their safety comes first, and we hope that they're both okay, that they're safe, that they're doing well. And, you know, I think from a feud standpoint, it'll pick up. It's not like this feud is ever going to be dropped. So I love that. So we'll get back to that when it's time. But if it's not meant to be for SummerSlam, then, you know, it's meant to be for SummerSlam.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look at Sasha's Instagram right now. Looks like...
Did she post anything?
Yeah, she posted 4 days ago.
Oh, that was also probably right around the time that I think...
That the chatter started.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was Saturday, the house show that they missed. And then Charlotte, just as we're talking about this, Charlotte also coincidentally missed that, I think, that same house show, that same super show, because she was at Triple A.
Yeah, Triple A Mania.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So it was, so that was a weird.
Yeah, because at first that's what people were saying. People were saying, like, they missed their flights, but then they were like, oh, they missed back-to-back flights. Like, what is that?
No one knows what happened. No one knows what happened.
Yeah, it's just all speculation at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Bianca's still been posting every day.
Has she been sewing, though? That's the question. Has she been getting
her outfit? She did. She did. Oh. She gave a small preview of what the outfit was going to look like, but that was a few days ago. So, I mean, full transparency, we're recording on a Wednesday to get this out as soon as possible. So I guess we might see what happens on SmackDown when it comes to this. But I mean, all of that stuff aside, you know, no matter what, like Matt said, at some point this is going to happen. So I'm really excited for Sasha versus Bianca 2. I want Bianca to win, even though I'm wearing my Sasha Wale Mania shirt.
Are you really?
Yeah. And I love Sasha, and heel Sasha is like literally the best iteration. I know
you're a Sasha fan.
What? Yeah. I like this run that Bianca is on. It is like the booking of a really good babyface champion, like especially a women's babyface champion. I feel like this is that we haven't had something to this point, like babyface wise, since Becky as the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. You know, it's the heel champion, Sasha, Bayley as heel champions. Duh, they carried last year. But like a really good babyface women's champion, I feel like this is the first time we've had it since Becky.
I would say that's a pretty low bar, though, because, I mean, Becky, like, who was after Becky? Asuka was after Becky, really.
Yeah.
But even then, like, thinking of both brands, yeah, I think that's a great point. And I wouldn't have thought of that comparison because Becky, you know, Becky's in her own lane, but that's right. Like, we, I think the thing that's great about Bianca is that the character makes sense. The character
feels
like a real human, and also is someone who's able to just like knock everything out of the park and great to root for. So yeah, it's been a while, which is kind of sad that.
I mean, that's saying it's also better than Sasha Banks as when she was the face champion before WrestleMania. I would say
She was champ. Mm-hmm. She was a face, wasn't she?
There you go.
Sasha's never a face. Who are we kidding? Even when she's a face, it's like Sasha stop playing.
Yeah, just ask Corey Graves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to buck the trend here, and I'm going to say that I want heel Sasha to be the champion here.
Okay.
Here's why. If Bianca beats Sasha at SummerSlam or whenever their match takes place, what happens next? Who are you going to build up next? Who's the next big villain on SmackDown to go after Bianca? Nobody. Heel Sasha's champion opens up the possibilities for, say, a Liv Morgan, Natty when she heals up, Tamina, whoever else they want to, Toni Storm, who hasn't debuted on SmackDown yet, but who they've promoted through these vignettes, right? They can build all these women up, or they can make Bianca sympathetic once again. My issue with Bianca as a powerful women's champion who's a babyface is that at some point, she's going to get stale. She's going to be like Super Cena, where, I'm so tired of Bianca retaining again. Bianca wins, lol. And to avoid that, we might as well pull the rug from underneath her now and make her sympathetic, eat a loss, and then have her come all the way back up and start that redemption arc.
Wait,
that's interesting.
Did I say, I don't know if I honestly don't know what I think will happen in this match.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you, Stan, on that one. Like, that would make a lot of sense. Or at least, like, continue the thread where Sasha gets that shot where she gets the championship again. Because I do think, I mean, nothing better than a heel Sasha Banks. We love a good heel Sasha. So, you know, a good spicy Sasha. They should start calling spicy that. The spicy boss, Sasha Banks. This is why I don't win Crater Rapsler ever.
This is exactly why.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm with you on that. I agree. Like, it would be nice to see Sasha with the championship at some point, or like just a messy finish where Sasha gets that shot again soon so she could take the championship.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they can go any way with this. And I feel like they can figure out a way to do it again, honestly, if they wanted to, if Bianca retains. But either way, I just love Bianca's character. I just love when we have a fighting babyface champion. All right. So, those are the four main events, really. And those are what we really had the meat and potatoes on.
Wait, Alexa Bliss versus Doudrop isn't in the main event? What?
What?
Sorry, Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie, I meant.
Right. No.
I mean, it could be.
Hey, that's money to me, man.
It's funny because it could, I mean, if you look at this year, it could have been, we'll get to that match.
Right.
I could see a world where it could main event a pay-per-view if things were built differently. That's weird things to think about. We'll get there though, because it's playing. One of the last matches we'll talk about.
So next we have Edge versus Seth Rollins. I mean, this is just going to be a great match. This buildup has been really good, really solid, really spicy, to take Matt's word. But like, I mean, this is a dream match. It really is. It's a dream match with a lot of aggression behind it, and it's just going to be good wrestling. Good wrestling.
Yeah, good wrestling. We love that. But you know what? I'm excited for this. I don't know why.
Why you sound so apprehensive?
I am, because I am apprehensive right now, because I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about the Seth Edge. And actually, you know what? I'm going to expand this to Seth. Maybe I'm just not a Seth person. Maybe I'm just realizing this, you know.
You're like literally realizing it right now.
In the exact moment. Because there's something, I don't know. I just don't. They're both amazing competitors. Edge, phenomenal. Uh-huh. Seth, phenomenal. But I don't know what it is that feels off to me about this feud, but maybe I think it's just my issues with Seth. I don't know. I have to talk.
Well, who are you picking your childhood hero, Edge, then?
How dare you? I mean, I'm like, don't call me out for him being one of my childhood heroes. Like, yeah, it's true.
Hey, there's no shame in being an Edgehead. I'm an Edgehead too.
I'm an Edgehead too. It's just, you know what it is, honestly? It's probably a combination between, like, Edge, it's amazing that he's able to come back, but he is so much older than he was when he was able to compete 10 years ago before he had to initially retire.
Again, and Matt versus time.
I'm winning. And, you know, also, so that's part of it. And then, yeah, this will be a great match. We'll enjoy it. I should stop talking about.
Well, who did you pick?
We'll go with Edge. Edge needs the win. Edge.
All right, Stan.
Yeah.
So Stan has. Yeah, I'm an Edge mark, and yeah. I just love the fact that 7 years ago, right, they had that interaction at SummerSlam or whenever it was, where Seth basically threatened to kill Edge.
Yes.
And now we're getting the payoff to that at SummerSlam. The fact that we're saying these things just blows my little mind, right? And I have a personal Edge story that I want to share with you guys. So, when I was in Brooklyn for Takeover, I was walking in towards the side entrance of the Barclays Center with my head down because it was cold as hell. And the friends I was with were like, "Stan, that was Edge. Edge just walked past us." And I was like, "No, you're fucking with me." And they're like, "No, dude, that was Edge." So they pointed him out. And right then and there, I dropped everything I had. I dropped my friends and I ran as fast as I could towards Edge. And wow. I got his attention, asked to take a quick photo with him. And I did. My hand was shaking and I was just in tears because that, like Matt, Edge is my guy. So the fact that that experience happened and then we're getting, you know, we got Edge back in 2020. Edge came back from another triceps injury. Man, I just can't not root for anything he's doing in the ring now. So I don't even care if Edge loses at SummerSlam because Seth Rollins, theoretically, as the younger guy, he's the one that you have to build up. He's the one that, you know, you have to get him that credibility after he beats a legit Hall of Famer in Edge. So yeah. I'm just really happy with the way that they built the storyline. The build up really hit all the right notes. And I think that this is probably the match to watch this Saturday.
You like know, the show stealer.
Yeah, you know, you actually just pointed out something that kind of, maybe this is my hesitation about this match. I wish that Edge were against someone who was like, because Seth Rollins is a veteran too. He's a veteran.
Yeah,
sure, sure. And, you know, even though he is the younger guy, like you were saying, I think what I would love, and, you know, this applies to the Edge run in general, it's like put him with people who are really young, who could really use that growth. And actually, I kind of felt this way. Wow, you guys are great. This is, you're helping me work through a lot of stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So the other thing is the Seth Cesaro feud. I also felt like, and I probably said on the podcast at some point, that I just would love to see a younger talent in that spot who could really be built up by the situation. I don't think Seth needs it, even though,
sure,
he has the ability to get up to the main event easily. And so that's the one thing I would say about Edge, even though that's a match we'd want to see. And there are lots of Edge dream matches that I think they're kind of giving to us, which is amazing. Just I would love to get him. I don't have a name. I'm not going to drop any names, but really some people who are like who just got there in the last 5 years or so, like people are brand new. It'd be great to see with Edge, just because who would have thought we would ever see that?
Yeah.
Here's a question for you guys. How nuts is it that Christian is probably having a more successful return to the ring than Edge right now? Because, I mean, say what you want about Edge being in this spot, having won a Royal Rumble, main event in WrestleMania. Christian is the face of another company again in 2021.
Yeah.
Don't do that, Mari.
Yeah, I mean,
World Championship is a World Championship.
I was actually going to say, he's
I didn't do it. That was,
company,
the AEW commentators buried that belt way more than I could. So,
wow.
They did.
I wouldn't say that.
Mark, what else do you have to say about AEW while I'm going to...
No, I'm saying like...
It's live.
I'm saying they made sure to every so often during that match talk about how the AEW championship was the crown jewel. And, you know, that's the more important one. That's the real championship. That came out of their mouths, not mine. Sure. I didn't say anything about the Impact championship. Yeah.
But I'm just saying Christian is the face of a company right now. Edge isn't. So I'm going to give Christian some points.
Yeah, good. I mean, give him some points. Give him those points. That's fine.
He's amazing. And but you know what? I think part of it too with Christian is that it's so fresh because we had that massive, I think, 7 years that he was out of action, and then we got him back at the Royal Rumble, which was a thing, and then now we have him at AEW. Honestly, I guess we were talking about this last week, the run in AEW hasn't really been so hot until like the last couple of weeks, really. Mm-hmm. And now he's champion, Impact champion, so it's just different. But Christian is, I like your question and point there, Stan, because it's a conversation you could have, which is pretty impressive. And like, who's doing better? Who's hotter, Christian or Edge?
And we're provoking people. Yeah. It's provocative.
It keeps the people going. Gets the people going. Yeah. I guess I'm going to go with Seth because, yeah, Stan made some great points here. And Seth, I guess, does need the win. I mean, I don't know.
It, though. Because I just feel like I've seen a lot of kind of edge getting slapped around.
Yeah, they both kind of need it. So it's weird. But I'm like Stan said, I think it's going to be a great match. Never.
You know, speaking of AEW, I think what they should do with Seth and Edge is just have them like go from being enemies to being partners. And then they could do what Jericho and MJF did with the whole musical. That's what I want for these two.
Like who's got the better man bun, and they're just going to be like the man bun brothers or whatever.
Yeah, send all complaints to @MariTalks too much.
Don't send none of those to me. You'll get a scathing retort. Okay. Next, and I don't know. I'm probably going to be brief about this one. The SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos are the champions versus the Mysterios. So the Mysterios have been trying to regain their titles since, like, I don't know when they. I feel like they lost the title as well. Is it right before
Money in the Bank?
At Money in the Bank.
It was the pre-show.
It was a pre-show,
which is actually really. It's a choice, is what I'll say.
This is where I would definitely say again the feud teams backwards because I think the Usos had only fought the Mysterios at that point like once before they took the championships off of them, and then ever since then we've been getting some sort of amalgamation of one of the Mysterios versus the Usos, one of the Usos versus the Mysterios. They've also been telling this story about Dominic being unprepared and making rookie mistakes and Ray trying to coach him up about that. And it's very interesting, that storyline. But honestly, with the Usos being the champions, I mean, I get it. You want your baby faces to chase, but it just, I don't know. I feel like it takes a wind out of the sail of the feud because I just don't believe that the Mysterios are going to win. I mean, for me, if I'm going to go full swerve booking, what I would do is, I would have Dominic turn on Ray. I mean, aren't we all just kind of waiting for that or want that to happen? What? You know, you have, they lose. Maybe Dominic turned on Ray, be like, you know, this wasn't my fault. Now it was your fault, old man, something like that. And I want, they kept doing all of these promos where Ray would say something and Dominic would be like, yeah, my dad was right. And he would stutter a little bit. And I was like, and I was watching him and I'm like, Dominic seems younger here than he did when he debuted like 2 years ago. Like, how is this possible? And I would just love Dominic to turn on Ray and then like the next night come out like in like a suit, kind of like blinged out.
And Uncle Eddie was my real dad.
Yeah. Something just so like out of the box and just, I've been wanting a second generation, third generation, or whatever superstar to come out and actually own the nepotism. Like, Charlotte Flair does not own the nepotism. She
totally does.
No, not to me. Like, she says, yes, I'm a Flair, but I got here on my own. No, you didn't.
What about
you
the whole opportunity promo? Like, I am the opportunity. That's totally embracing the nepotism.
I don't think so. I think that's her being full of herself. I think she does believe she's the opportunity. I think she believes she's
because created. Nepotism.
I don't think she embraces the nepotism. I not enough for me. I feel like she's too much like, I got here in spite of my last name. Yes, I'm a Flair, but I worked hard and to become the greatest of all time. Like, I feel like she's always trying to shake it while embracing the last name. I agree, she embraces it, but I don't think she's always trying to be like, no, I did this, you know? So I want somebody to be like, no, I got in here because my daddy got me in here. I am like, I want like stupid spoiled brat, you know, and I think Dominic would be perfect. You know, throw Simone Johnson in there because they're both young and then just like have them, you know, her escort him to the ring and they just be like spoiled rich kids. That would be so cool. Give them like an influencer gimmick. You know, I love to do influencer gimmicks on the Rapsler. Like, that's what I want to see. We won't get anything like that. I think we get the Mysterios losing. I don't think we get a turn here at any point. But I'm sorry. I said I'm going to be brief with that, and I just went on a whole tangent.
No, and you know what, Mari? How dare you disrespect the sanctity of the American family? American values, which define the nuclear family. We have seen Boo. Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio.
The nuclear family is a tool of the patriarchy.
I mean, probably. Look, I'm just cutting me off because I didn't have much else to that bit. But you know what? I will say, I don't want to see a child beat up his father in this case, just because, like, you know, I do feel like, I don't know. I like Ray fought so hard to keep Dominic about 15 years ago.
And oh my God,
20
no.
years ago. about 16 or 17 years ago, I guess, at this point. And something you know like what? That. I think that Dominic shouldn't be able to leave his father because, like, Ray won him. He won his
Jeez Louise. Stan.
Where's my I'm Your Poppy shirt?
Oh my gosh.
So my I'm Your Poppy shirt's in a different room. I should have whipped it out for this one. Okay. I love what Mari said about how we haven't really gotten a whole lot of like second gen or third gen wrestlers just flexing right. Their privilege, right? I mean, we kind of got it from Legacy back in the day, right? When,
yes.
when you had a young Cody, a young Ted DiBiase, yeah. Randy Orton, and Manu. We yeah. also kind of had it with Jason Jordan. Remember when they were pushing him
oh, yeah.
as Kurt Angle's son? Yeah. So we had bits and pieces of it.
Yes, that's what we had were getting right before he got injured. He was
Hornswoggle as Vince's son.
No, we're going to pretend that didn't happen.
Exactly. So that's exactly it, Stan. Thank you for reminding me because I was so excited where that Jason Jordan storyline was going, and then he got injured, and now I'm upset all over again.
But like with the Mysterios, they're too pure for me. Like I don't want to see them break up, which is why if they do break up, I think it would give me feelings. I think it would be effective. But I don't know how I feel about splitting them up right now when the SmackDown tag team division is so shallow. Mm-hmm. Like after the Mysterios, who do you have? You have the Street Profits, you have the Alpha Dogs. Academy, the Dirty Dogs, and that's really it.
That is it, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd like to see some other tag teams come up before you split up Ray and Dominic for good. I mean, I like that they're planting the seeds now because it is kind of natural to be this young guy who gets so full of yourself, right? Like, yeah, dad, I'm in the big leagues now. I don't need your advice. Go F off or whatever. Like, go retire or whatever, right? Yeah. The story writes itself. SummerSlam 2005, you guys alluded to it, right? Ray won custody of Dominic so he can build off that history. And have another ladder match. I think Ray and Dominic can still throw down with ladders in there at next year's SummerSlam. Maybe set it up for then.
Oh, I love a good ladder match.
You need
a
Guerrero
match.
In there too.
Well, they're all in AEW
all
right
busy.
Now.
Every single one.
Every single one's with the other company. So
Stan, who do you have winning?
I think the Usos have to retain here. They just won the titles last month. You want the bloodline looking like they're all badass champions, even though they're heels. That's part of the shtick. So I don't see a world where the Mysterios win back the titles for now. If anything, having them lose sows even more dissent among the ranks.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would love, no, not me about the fantasy book again. No, let's not do that.
Yeah. that's where it's like, it turns into a 5-hour podcast.
The slippery slope.
It is. Yeah. It really is. Cause I feel like the spotlight on the bloodline has been, is that what it is with this John Cena feud? Like it feels like the bloodline has been put on the back burner.
Yep. Well, I think Stan, so too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what you alluded to, Stan. And that's what I want them to get a woman. Come on. Give it
Bring
to
Tamina
me.
Back in.
Right. Tamina, Naomi, Naya. Yeah. There are just so many options.
But Tamina, really, because well
you got the history.
Tamina isn't even Tamina, part of the actual bloodline.
But you brought the Usos in back in the day.
No.
I forgot about
this
that.
This isn't right. The thing is, I don't have people's 23andMe results. I don't know who's actually related. I'm not Maury Povich doing DNA tests. Like, this is not my bag. So who am I to say who's related and who's not related? I just have to trust WWE and testing.
No, but can you buy a heel Naomi, though? I would say that she's kind of up there alongside Bray, where she's too pure to be a heel.
Mari could buy anything Naomi.
Very true. Team Bad Naomi literally like rocked my world in like
2016. Yeah, she was a badass.
2016, honestly.
The problem with that is that if you really like want to do a heel Naomi, right? Like she would just, in my mind, the way I look at things, just adapt her moveset so it's a lot less exciting.
She did. You don't remember? She used to do her, it was like the Rings of Saturn style submission move. If I remember correctly.
She was good. She was a heel. I remember. I got heel vibes.
She called it the Slay-O-Mission.
She needs to work on it.
I love how you remember that because I totally forgot
really?
About
Both
that.
Both of y'all?
Yes.
I'm dead ass Naomi Team Bad. Like again, that was right around the time I was really getting back into wrestling. So the women's revolution. Like I love the gang warfare. I love Team Bad. I famously went to again that Raw after SummerSlam and was pissed because there's no Team Bad merch. So that her run there really like imprinted on me. So I love, she did adapt her moves. She adapted her moves. She did the submissions. She did a lot of more of her kicks. Not as, you know, the crowd pleasing. So I think Naomi could be a heel. The difference is now it will definitely have to be, you know, I think it might have to be a turn. Like it might really have to be a progression. You have to get that, you know, you know what I'm saying? It has to be a logical progression. She couldn't just traipse on out with the Usos and be like, now I'm bad, you know? So,
yeah.
Sorry, that was me talking about. I love Naomi.
I don't even care. Yeah, I'm just.
I just want her on my TV.
I want her on my YouTube. I want her on my TV. I want it all. And you know what? I still refuse to get my hopes up.
Hey, here's an idea. Turn Naomi heel, have her align with Roman and the rest of the family, then have her go up against babyface Bianca.
Bianca. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Boom.
I would love all of that. They asked Roman about that. They asked Roman if Naomi could join the bloodline. He said, yeah, we could find something for her.
Any stable where you have a bunch of badasses and a woman in there, that's good to me, you know. Like not to make it about my own career, but like I was pushing backstage back when we were doing our shows to have a woman join our stable, because like that was the one thing I wanted before the pandemic happened.
Oh man, yeah, exactly. You know, it always just an extra twist. I love
that's
it.
Always the thing. That's always the thing that we want and don't have. And like, because I even remember back to Hit Row is a great example. And I'm gonna mention Evolution because I remember I used to get the WWE magazines as a kid, and I remember they were talking about like Stacy Keibler as the Evolution member because there was a thing that they were teasing at the time with Randy Orton. So she was like on the periphery, but they never brought her in officially. But I do think it's interesting. I wish they had like that signature woman or a couple of women in the faction. Naomi Tina would be great.
Sanity, right? Nikki Cross was part of Sanity. That was really good.
They need to do it more.
Absolutely. Ivory, I loved Ivory and Right to
Censor. What an icon.
So good.
Bring her back.
Please, please, please. Okay, so next we have the United States Championship match. Sheamus versus Damian Priest. So good build-up to this match. Very weird with all this Miz, the underlying current of Miz's injury. Also with maybe like Miz and John Morrison, like a tease of them splitting up a little bit. Either way, I think Damian Priest has done a great job of dealing with all the wackiness that is the Miz and John Morrison and has come out of it with people not only like really behind him, like really, really behind him, a really good baby face. He got the rub from Bad Bunny, and I want to see him beat Sheamus, even though Sheamus, again, is doing great work. Sheamus is doing great work as the United States champion. I love a good fake face mask protector thing. So I wouldn't even mind if this is a series of matches. I mean, we've seen series of matches, but you know what I'm saying? Like if I want Damian Priest to win, Stan.
I'm with you there. I want Damian Priest to win. I think it's time for a change with Sheamus. I mean, I dig the whole Rip Hamilton vibe he's got going on with the face mask.
Yeah. You know,
I was a fan of those Pistons, so I'm all into it. But I need to see Damian Priest prove everybody who says that if you hire somebody who's over 30 from the indies, they're probably not going to be a star, right? Like, we've heard that chatter. Damian Priest was signed at 38, and I think he's one of those guys who really
I did not know that.
He's like 39 at this point. So, you know, I want to see Damian Priest succeed and prove that you don't have to have these hard limits as the rumors and innuendo dictate. You know, Damian Priest is an absolute star. I think that he's really proof that the NXT system as it is, it works. And I want to see him prove the haters wrong wherever they may be coming from.
He does not look that old to me. I mean, that's not old, but I would not have guessed 39.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, like chat me up, Stancy. What do you think Damian Priest's ceiling is?
Huh, that's a good question. So right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he stays in the upper mid card for the next 2 years. That's it for now. I wouldn't go out on a limb and say he's a future world champion yet, because we haven't really seen a whole lot of what he can do on the mic. But as a babyface, man, he's got the charisma. You're right, Mari, when you said that Bad Bunny really put him over huge. That did wonders for his career. And I want to see him try to scratch the surface of being that Latino breakthrough star, you know, kind of like what they wanted Alberto Del Rio to be, even though that didn't work out. What they had in Rey Mysterio in the 2000s, right?
What they had in Andrade.
Damon Priest speaks English. That's what Andrade doesn't have going well for him, right? Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm going to be frank. Angel Garza is not on the same level in terms of physical stature as Damon Priest.
Yeah, no. So
right? So I think Damian Priest is the next big Latino hope. Uh-huh. So I guess that's what I go out on a limb and say. He's that guy.
I mean, there's a reason that they put him with Bad Bunny.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And I don't know. That's all. That's it.
You know, who trained Bad Bunny? Damian Priest trained Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
But it says a lot that they put him with Bad Bunny.
Exactly. It does.
Bad Bunny doesn't do those Canadian destroyers without Damian Priest teaching him at the performance center.
Exactly. Stop.
You know what? Bring Bad Bunny back. He could be the next.
Yes, please.
Star. Let's do
it. Yes. Let's do it.
Matt, so you agree Damian Priest here?
I felt like you just did that Mean Girls line to me. Like, so you agree? You think?
Oh, so you agree? Damian Priest needs to win.
Yeah, I would give this to Damian Priest. It's strange because they have done a good job building this, so I would give it to Damian Priest. I think it. I can see Sheamus losing it without it being a big problem. Stuff with The Miz and John Morrison. I feel like it's so convoluted. Like, I'm like, what's going on? Why are they part of this? And like, we're also not even like really seeing like The Miz and John Morrison together with Sheamus. So it just feels like two different storylines at once.
Ricochet was in there for a hot minute for like a week and a half. So.
Yeah, but I think they've built it enough to the point where like Damian Priest could win and it would make sense and it would feel good. And I don't know what it is, but I get the sense that they're just looking to like they want to get him over and give him stuff. And I think that this is his first stuff because he hasn't had a championship yet, right?
No, he hasn't.
Not even the 24/7 championship.
Yeah, not on the main roster. No,
no, no. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that a Damian Priest win could open up the possibility of like a three-way feud between him, Miz, and Morrison. Because the way things are now with Miz and Morrison, you're right, it is a bit convoluted. But I also think there isn't a clear-cut babyface yet. I mean, you know, maybe it's John Morrison because he's the one who feels that, you know, he's been lied to. But Jomo hasn't exactly been clean on his own, right? Like, we've seen all of the stuff he's been involved in, him screwing over Damian Priest every chance he could get. So once they flesh out that story, they can easily plug it into the Damian Priest storyline. And then, boom, you have a three-way over the United States Championship.
Is nobody going to give me a ladder match at any point? Like, what happened to a title belt?
You're getting it next year, Ray versus Dominic.
Yeah, you're getting that next. You have to wait.
We had Money in the Bank, I guess, but still.
No, you're getting it in December for TLC.
Wow. Oh, see, that's the thing. I don't want it.
We don't want that
at
TLC.
And I want it random.
Oh, you're getting it at TLC because it's December.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
Well, I'll just also, maybe I want to put out, like, I just want to say it just in case that I could also see a world where I don't. See, again, it feels like they're so separate, even though they have Damian Priest as the commonality, but a world where, like, The Miz screws over Damian Priest, and then we have a situation where somehow it's, like, Sheamus and Miz with John Morrison, but John Morrison who then, like, defects to Priest, and then it's, like, Miz versus Morrison, Priest versus Sheamus. I could see that happening.
Now you're just writing 4 episodes of Raw.
I just want it on the fly.
May even be more than that. So I just wanted to say it because that seems like it could happen.
There's your road to Clash of Champions or whatever.
I don't want it to blame me.
No, you just manifested it, man. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I think I did. Or I did the opposite because I just demanifested it, as the kids probably would say. Yes.
I don't know if that's how that works.
I don't have a dictionary.
Yeah. So next up, we have Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. I think this feud is just like, it's a very fun feud. It feels like it's one of those, like, it's, I guess it's supposed to be kind of like an Attitude Era style feud because they're feuding over stuff like swords and motorcycles and stuff like that, you know, but also drawing on their history as like friends and everything. And I liked how this week Drew, had a handicap match versus Veer and Shanky, which is like Jinder Mahal's his entourage,
his goons, lackeys, all of the above.
And so if he lost, then he wouldn't be able to bring the sword to the ring. Right. And if he won, Veer and Shanky were banned from ringside. So he won and Veer and Shanky are banned from ringside.
I'm getting angrier with every second. Just thinking, can we talk about the sword?
What's wrong with the sword?
Yeah, what's there to talk about?
What's wrong with the sword? I know. It's a sword. This is pro wrestling. You can't just kill people.
Okay. You're talking to somebody who collects swords, so I don't know.
What differentiates that from, like, Elias' guitars or Francesca 2?
Yes. You said what?
Did you threaten me with the sword?
No. If I threatened you, you know it.
Oh god, I'm really not. Let's just move on. No, it's strange. It's just like I know what a sword could do, and it does not belong in a pro wrestling ring. And they should ban the sword. This is one. Look, I have a number of hills I'm willing to die on, and you've heard them all on this podcast. The last one was the contracts. This one is the sword, because swords have no place in wrestling. Like, what are we going to have, machetes next?
I mean, you've got Ridge Holland carrying a nightstick like he was the big boss man. So how is that different from a sword?
Nightsticks are questionable for multiple reasons. Machetes and swords, I just don't want anyone bleeding around here.
This is true.
That kind of way.
Doesn't he normally leave it at the top of the ramp? Like, he puts it into the something and then
you know
it just
what?
Stays
I'm gonna, there. I'm just going to stop because I just remembered AEW at the Pizza Cutter a couple weeks ago. So, you know what? The sword's great compared to the Pizza Cutter. As long as no one's getting
I'm going to agree there. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go.
Maybe that's all dominoes. Sure.
Put up a poll. Someone needs
to put pizza cutter. So who do you think's going to win, Matt?
No, I don't even know. I don't even know if I just said it. Let's go with Sheamus. Wait, is that what we're talking about now?
You're talking about Drew and Jinder.
Sheamus is gonna win. No, Drew's gonna win. Like, how could Jinder win this match? Like, it's not happening.
No, Veer and Shanky. Drew is the baby face who has a great push. Drew's definitely winning. Stan, what are your thoughts on the feud, though?
I feel bad that I mean, I feel bad that Jinder's kind of looked like a chump throughout the buildup. I really expected a lot here. I expected Drew and Jinder to really make Jinder look good. But for one reason or another, Jinder has looked like a bumbling fool throughout this entire month.
Very cartoony feud. Yeah.
It's so early 90s. And when you think about how grounded wrestling supposedly is in 2021, and, you know, I mean, I appreciate that they're not going with like Indian stereotypes and whatever, right?
Right.
Like, that's one thing I'll give them credit for. But
the
geez.
Bar is so low.
Yes. You know, you said it, not
the bar is so low.
I just want Jinder to look good. So if Jinder can look good in a loss against Drew McIntyre, I'll take it. But I need Jinder to win here. I just need Jinder to reassert himself and look like a contender again. Because if Bobby Lashley is going to lose the championship down the road, you're going to need all these heels who can match up and look credible as someone like Drew's a former champion, right? Yeah. There's an opportunity here to use what they've done with Drew to build Jinder back up again, to make Jinder great again.
Yeah, they've used every opportunity to make him look like Wile E. Coyote, like from stealing the sword, and it's like a fake sword.
To getting his bike broken.
Yes, the bike broken. Sending Baron Corbin to his dirty work. It's been very, very just cartoonish.
Or Veer and Frankie not looking credible.
Yeah.
Like, you've got these two huge behemoths and they haven't looked dominant at all. Like, this 7-foot Shanky guy gets hit with chairs and stuff. Like, I get it, but if he keeps getting left behind in the ring week after week, then why does he keep defending Jinder and Veer?
Why be big like that if you're gonna be
all that hype for what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad times. And you know what? This feud has been strange though, because they literally, like, just the other day, this week, they had another handicap match between Drew and Veer and Shanky. And then they did that 2 weeks ago. So, like, I mean, finish different, whatever, but like, just, I don't know. I'm with you, Stan, that Jinder, I get what you're saying with Jinder needing it. I just don't think he can get it, because it's true. Like, we can't forget how the level that Drew is perceived is so much higher than Jinder.
Think about how much more credible the Bollywood boys were as opposed to Veer and Shanky, and they're like half Veer and Shanky.
And all they did was just get like back body dropped through
tables.
So like, and that was that got them over a lot too.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. The more you know.
The more you know. Yeah.
Don't hinder Jinder, please.
Don't hit. I mean, too late. He's been hindered.
If he wins this, I mean, it's going to be something like he's going to do something like real, just next level cheating style.
The sword.
I'd pop huge if Jinder won.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I'm a fan.
I just need him to like slice Drew with the sword and then get the cover, because I'd be like,
so Mr. No Swords now.
Well, I mean, you want to
prove
sword,
a point? Oh my god!
If you're gonna have it, just use it.
Hey, let's call Nick Gage up while we're at it.
Oh
yeah,
god.
Exactly. A la Pizza Cutter. If you're gonna have it, do it.
All right, let's get through these last few matches.
Yeah.
This chair, this stool that I'm sitting in is so uncomfortable. So we got the Raw Tag Team Championship match. It's AJ Styles and Omos. They are the champions versus Randy Orton and Riddle. So this was interesting on Raw. Did you call it last week?
I don't.
Grace called it last week.
We've talked about this concept a lot, because late in the context of Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, we were talking about if Mari kicked me in the face, I would come back to her, and clearly the same goes for Riddle. Which is like, it all makes sense for the characters involved. And I like that about this feud, even though I'm not like particularly excited about anyone involved with it. Exactly. I like what they're
Why?
Doing.
This
I
is like the best feud on Raw right now. Is like, it? I'm not even kidding. Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I'm with you. What? I agree. But that's not saying a lot. And it's true. I mean,
yeah, the bar is low. The bar is low. But come on. This is clearly the best story Raw's been telling. Like, I've been hooked on this since Randy Orton and Riddle started interacting just because it's so dumb. It's so dumb, but it's so good.
It is really good. And I think this is the thing. If it keeps stretching out where they're on the same side, over it. We don't need it. I don't want them to have the championships. How are they? I mean, just to put the prediction out there, Randy Orton and Riddle are going to win the championships, right?
Yeah.
Like, how is that not going to happen?
Yeah.
It's a typical odd couple storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just, Randy Orton. So last week we talked about Randy Orton RKO'd Riddle. This week, Riddle, they came back. Like, he saved Randy Orton. He saved him? Yeah, from AJ Styles and Omos beatdown. Randy Orton then agreed to reunite with RK-Bro. And then they are going to be, in this match. So they win the championships. We get another odd couple pairing. Like Matt says, how long does this go? Like, how long does this go when we've already kind of seen Randy do the turn? So I don't know. Stan, do you know how long this would go?
So remember when Daniel Bryan and Kane formed Team Hell No? We didn't know it would last long, but they were champions for over a year.
Jeez,
so they were able to stretch that storyline, if you remember that. And with Randy Orton and Riddle, I find it just hilarious because of how goofy Riddle is. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you want to put on your super serious and take wrestling too seriously hat on, you'll be like, they're displaying the hallmarks of a toxic relationship. Because one party
is
beating down on the other and the other keeps coming back. Yeah. But if you're going to take that and put that aside for a bit, I just appreciate how funny Randy Orton and Riddle are. Like, Randy Orton's the straight guy to Riddle being the foil, just being all over the place. And AJ and Omos, who've been champions since WrestleMania, I think it's time for them to move on to a different story as well. So if you have Randy Orton and Riddle win at SummerSlam, it opens the door for another challenger. And whether or not this tag team between RK-Bro lasts longer than a month, I'd like to see it through at least, because to be fair to all the parties involved, they did sow the seeds over the last 2-3 months. I'm going to give them credit for that.
In a while. Yeah, I agree. It is a good story being told. I don't like the players, but I agree. I think RK-Bro will win here, and we'll see what's next for them. I mean, the tag team division literally is abysmal on Raw, so I don't even know who they could even face next. So.
The Viking Raiders. Ali and Mansoor are on the up and up.
Oh yes, Ali and Mansoor.
This is what I want to see. What? I mean, I know what you want to see.
Well, I want to see them in the picture eventually.
Or, you could have T-Bar and Mace in there as well, because they're a tag team and they exist. So
I like them.
We need to work on the tag team. But this is like perpetual struggle. Like,
it is.
Stronger tag teams overall.
Tag teams, yeah, overall. I agree. Okay, so finally, final official match is Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie.
Yes! I've been waiting for this.
Have you really?
I love how you're just not amused. No, seriously, I have been waiting for this because I love Alexa Bliss.
What? Stan C is an Eva Marie stan?
I wouldn't call myself an Eva Marie stan, but I appreciate what she brings to the table. Like, because of Eva Marie, Piper Niven is on the main roster. Like, she's got a role for herself, right? I'm not going to dump on Eva Marie for that. And it's not like Eva Marie, I wouldn't know the backstage goings on and all that, but it's not like she probably went up to Stanford and said, hey, put me in a huge SummerSlam feud and put me up against Alexa Bliss or whatever. Right. So, I'm not going to hate her for that. If anything, it gives everybody something to do. And, Alexa Bliss is on SummerSlam.
And I was about to say, earlier when we mentioned this, that Alexa was the main event earlier this year with a lot of different segments and things going on. And again, it wouldn't be ridiculous to have Alexa in the main event if the cards were, you know, if the cards were whatever the card should be, if it's the right thing. Blink, it's a long podcast, long day. But if the cards did the card thing, then, you know, Alexa could have been the main event here. Eva Marie could have been brought back as some kind of strong, viable competitor, a force against Alexa's evilness. I don't know. Wild to think. But I just I want a 5-star match from Eva Marie one day. This is what I want. Because, and I want people to start talking about it so that she knows that this is a challenge. I want her to stay. I know it's like, it's wrestling. It's doable. She could have a 5-star match, Mari. She could. Ronda Rousey could have a 4.9-star match. This means, I don't know what her match. Ronda Rousey could have a 5-star match. This means that Eva Marie could have a 5-star match.
Well, so we get Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie. The tension has been for months. We've gotten Eva and Doudrop on the playground. We've gotten Lily tripping Eva Marie. We've gotten Lily winking.
A lot of it's been on the playground.
Yeah.
Like, way too much that actually has been on the playground.
I mean, the final thing we got this Raw was Eva Marie slapping Doudrop. Like, slapping the taste out of her mouth twice. Weird slaps. I don't know. Matt wants 5 stars out of somebody who people are pointing out has weird slaps. But anyways.
Is that what people are talking about?
Yes.
I mean, she's not the best at acting, sure.
Yes. And so, yeah, no, I can't. I think all this is it's breaking up Eva Marie and Doudrop. Like, that's absolutely what we're getting.
I don't
That's
even,
the way to go.
Yeah.
But you know what? I just don't. I don't think I care. Like, I'm not. I feel bad saying it, but I'm really fascinated. Honestly, genuinely, I am really fascinated by Eva Marie as an in-ring competitor because I wonder, like, what is she actually capable of? But then I also think to myself, well, everyone has a role. You know, Stan, you were talking about this. Like, Eva Marie has a role that she plays, and I think it's a good role for her.
Quick question, Matt. Why do you think we haven't seen what she's capable of?
Well, I think part of it, a big part of it, is just the fact that, like, that's just not... that's not interesting. Like, no one wants to see Eva Marie with a 3.5-star match. We want Eva Marie with a 5-star match.
Who,
and she's not there yet.
We?
She's training, though. You know, the Eva Army.
All right.
I love how you just drank the Evolution Kool-Aid.
I mean, the whole gallon, because...
Huh? So
it boggles my mind.
Yeah. No,
it boggles my mind that we live in a world where this scary, sexy little girl character who's possessed by a demon is a baby face because of Eva Marie. Think about that. Think about how you know, that whole trope has been subverted just because, to WWE's credit, they are leaning hard on how the internet fans dislike Eva Marie. And, you know, they're leaning hard on how she is the diva in the world of women superstars. So the fact that Eva plays the role she plays, I think, does say a lot about how they're writing her. I just wish that the story was less clunky. Like, you know, Lily winking in the middle of a match. I don't think I need to see that. Lily tripping Eva or Doudrop or whoever, I think is pretty funny. You know, they could have probably been less clunky about the whole build up to it all, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree. I can definitely agree with that.
You know what? An actual point, though, about this, too. I think it's a massive missed opportunity that they haven't done a bunch of this in front of the crowds. Like, you have the crowd back, and I mean, I get that there's like the supernatural element, but also they haven't really been doing the supernatural things between,
right?
Other than the wink and some of the but that's literally it. Like, the wink and then Lily leaning, doing the Undertaker, like, sitting up kind of situation was a thing, but other than that, like,
Remember what they did with Shayna when they scared the crap out of Shayna? If they'd done that to Eva Marie, who's like way less threatening and is like your typical hot girl in a slasher film who gets killed first. Right? That would have been great.
Yeah.
You're right, Matt. That was a missed opportunity.
She has a spot. I'm just going to, again, in the spirit of putting things out there, one day, and maybe like in a year, when Eva's had another year to train, I want her to turn face and have that 5-star match. And I'm going to have like a counter for the like days, each day that goes by that we haven't seen that match.
We have already talked about this way longer than I wanted
to. Yeah, we need to go. We need to go to the next, whatever is next.
I think we get an Alexa Bliss win here and a Doudrop Eva breaking up.
Yep.
Okay.
It's not going to be much of a match.
Yep, that's it for the presumed card right now. There might be other possible matches. Maybe like Baron Corbin sneaks in there somewhere. Sad Baron Corbin.
I was going to say, there are so many options. I wonder what's going to happen with him and Big E, if there will be a Big E Baron match. Snap,
yes.
And then before that, there was some stuff with Finn, so that's a possibility. But
yeah, Big E and Baron Corbin, that'd be cool.
Who knows?
Yeah, maybe he tries to cash in. Maybe Corbin tries to cash in on Lashley and Goldberg. The ref is like, it's not yours. Big E comes out, snatches the briefcase from him, and the ref is like, he's like, yeah. And then he decides to cash.
Oh my God, please, no.
I'm really liking sad Baron Corbin.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I love Big E. I did forget about that till like 2 seconds ago when you just said it about the last thing he did was push Big E and snatch the briefcase.
Yeah, that's a pretty big cliffhanger.
There's something to be said about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
the bum ass Corbin story is actually told well. So like, good. I would say that it's so good because it really hammers home the continuity of it all. Like, normally you're supposed to be sympathetic to towards someone who's down on their luck, who's struggling financially, but this is a douchebag who has bullied nearly everybody that he's come across, and someone who abused his power when he was at the top of the world. Yeah. So now that he's getting his comeuppance, it's great. And it kind of also helps that the optics of it all, like when you're an alpha male who's straight and white, it's kind of hard to be sympathetic towards you, right?
Great point, Stan. Yeah.
Agreed. And Baron Corbin, I think we were talking about this on the last episode with Grace, just about Baron being like, this guy coming from the NFL, I think, I don't know how much he was. I have to look into his NFL career. That's a whole.
He was there for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. So, big money Baron here, with his bike and his, there's just a lot there where I think there's also some like good things to reference where like he has, there's a lot to say about Baron. Great stuff. We love it. I also feel like we have no clue if he's even going to compete. So I'm going to stop myself from fantasy booking and speculating.
Or maybe there's a segment. You know, he just goes out there, gets his ass beaten.
Yeah. Oh. That would be nice. We'd like a good pay-per-view segment. Just a random segment that's not a match.
Him and Pat McAfee were roommates when they were both on the Colts.
Oh.
What?
That's pretty cool.
They were on the Colts together.
They were on the Colts together.
See, that makes it funnier when Pat McAfee calls him bum-ass Corbin.
Yeah, it does.
They actually have some personal history. That's hilarious. That's great.
So strange.
That's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, I like it. I like everything he's doing. Of course, a shout-out to Pat McAfee, who's amazing right now.
He is a national treasure.
My God, the best. But that's it for the highlights of the pay-per-view. That is it for our pay-per-view, our SummerSlam pay-per-view preview. Thank you so much, Stan, for being here. Again, the timing is not optimal for me, period. Not you, but just
it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have to have you back on again. Thank you for spending your morning with us while it's nighttime over here. And we would hope you could come on again in the future. So where can the people find you, Stan?
Yeah, totally appreciate it. You can get my takes on wrestling and the international Survivor franchises over on Twitter at _StanC. That's _StanSy. Same handle over on Instagram. That's where I promote the voice work that I do, the documentary I'm a part of about my Chinese Filipino heritage. So that's all there. And if you just want to chat about whatever, Twitter and Instagram, that's the place to go. If you want to catch that documentary where I do give takes as well, confessional style, like it's reality TV, you can check it out on facebook.com/ChinoyTV. That's spelled ChinoyTV. They upload episodes every Tuesday in U.S. time.
So and there. We'll link that, right, Matt? In the show.
I can send you the links.
Yeah.
We're going to shout it. And, you know, Stan, awesome having you. Awesome that you could be here. We said it up top at the beginning, but you have been an incredible supporter of the Wrestling Hap. Our number one Stan. That's your official title. So thank you for that, Stan. And happy to have you. And I think this is probably where I plug. You gotta do plugs here, Mari. Is that what?
Yeah, you do. It's your turn.
Oh, look at that. I know how the show goes. Matt Scott GW, just follow me there. The Wrestling Rehab is a place to find me. There's probably other stuff to plug, but you know what? I don't know what it is. I can't think of it. It's late. You know what? I'm gonna plug coffee. And coffee.
All right.
Keeping it away. Sleep. Also, want to plug that. Shout out to sleep. Matt Scott GW, hit me up on Twitter, and of course, all the places where you could find the Wrestling Rehab. But Mari, where do you want to be found by the people?
You can find me on Twitter and Stereo at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Can find me every week here on the Wrestling Rehab podcast with Matt. You can also find me. I just did last week. I was with Sasha Joseph on the Love and Rehab podcast. And that's where we do the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta recaps over there. That was so fun. Me and Sasha were just going on and on. So if you want to talk about Love and Hip Hop, but also listen to us talk about us being crazy in high school, go listen to that.
So I will admit, as a side note, this is one of the few podcasts that Mari's on that I haven't listened to, but I have seen quotes from it posted by RHAP Out of Context, and
I've seen those too. Yeah,
some wild stuff. So
yes, we did. It was such a fun. Like normally, when I tell you, I don't listen to myself that often. I don't go back and listen to some of the podcasts. I listened to me and Sasha, and I was cracking up like I was just doing the conversation with her. So it's so fun. So please go and check that out. Go and support Sasha and the Love and Rehab Up podcast. I will also, the secret is out. I just got a notification. I will be on the Survivor's rankings for the best, fourth best season, which is Micronesia. Yeah, me and Rob and Lynn.
What?
Ow. Yeah, that'll be on Tuesday. So the good thing is I'll have my setup, but incoming 5-hour podcast apparently. So can't wait for that. Can't wait to do it with Rob. I got some shows I gotta go watch. Y'all can definitely catch me there. But also, again, just like Matt and Stan said, you can always find me on Twitter.
And you know what? I'll also just say the Big Brother season is continuing. By the way, Mari, I think with that announcement, I just dislocated my jaw. So
I'm sorry.
Really happy for you, but I'm gonna need the time off from podcasting until our next.
Okay, well, however
to recover however from you that need. One.
There you go.
Yeah. But yes, check us out. Also, you never know when we'll pop up for some of the Big Brother 23 coverage.
Yes.
And those are the things for
those
now.
Those are all the things. Again, Stan, thank you so much. Any last words, any final thoughts about this SummerSlam or anything from the week?
Yeah. I guess I just want to say thanks to the two of you as well. You know, I've been wanting to podcast with you for a long time, basically since you guys burst onto the scene, because I just really love talking to people about wrestling. It's what really got me into the internet, you know, the wrestling internet in the first place. So I really appreciate this. I'm looking forward to joining you guys at the watch party for the patrons this weekend. If there's a watch party or over on Discord or wherever we chat.
Who knows?
Right. Who knows? If people want to catch my interviews with other wrestlers from the scene, whether they're in WWE or elsewhere, you can check out the Wrestling podcast on Spotify. We've got interviews there with Drew McIntyre, with Pretty Deadly from NXT UK, Robbie Eagles of New Japan, Jeff Cobb, Thunder Rosa of AEW, bunch of others. So go check that out, because there's so much content out there. There is so much content out there. So please support your content creators. And thank you again, Matt and Mari. Man, you made my day. My day's barely begun.
Well, you made my night. My night is done, and I'm tired, but I appreciate it. Everything that Stan just said, we'll link all of that in the descriptions. You can also find our highlights of the week in the description, either on the YouTube channel or in your podcast notes. So thank you, everybody. We will see you back next Saturday, not this one, for a Wrestling Rehab podcast. Until then, watch out for any flying elbows. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.